Link engaged. New player. New player.
Now I actually get to be on the show.
Yeah, you get to tell it yourself.
I'm going to sound like a retard.
We all do. That's half the fun.
It's a nerd.
I sound like a retard.
I know. That's why we do this every week.
Would you like to complain about anything else, Kovar?
You're short and you're ugly, too.
To experience.
You know that feeling when the huge dump you just took shoots back up inside your ass?
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Don't do the games until it dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
I can't fight these video games.
I want to win the games until it dies playing.
I can't fight these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I played so much of that game, it was nuts.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not gonna buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Ludicrous kill.
Alright, fuck you guys. This is Games and More Entertainment Radio episode motherfucking 100. I'm C4.
And I'm Koba.
I'm Jason.
I'm Modem. Final Dragoon.
Awesome. We're trying to...
something.
Yeah, just a little... thank you, Final Dragoon. We've got a couple people on TeamSpeak here. This is... hopefully a few more will join and people will come and go as they have to leave and whatnot. I know we're getting started a little bit early and with, like, absolutely no fucking warning, but this should be a lot of fun, I think. It was a pretty good idea for episode 100 that we didn't even know if we were going to be able to pull this off. And the best part is we don't have any, like, serious actual, like, topics, like, notes to go over, which leaves us with the one big-ass thing that happened this week, was the Tokyo Game Show.
That's a pretty big show. I mean, it's second only to E3.
I think everybody's favorite fucking part about this had to do with the Revolution, too.
That controller is stupid.
No, fuck you. I think that controller is awesome.
One word, lightsaber.
Exactly. At first, my initial impression, I think, was the exact same as everybody else's. I remember seeing the controller, somebody was posting, you know, I mean, there was pictures all over. I was on IGN and, like, half a dozen other sites all sitting there refreshing the page, and it was on the forum and everything. Everybody was all over this, showing us pictures. And I'm looking at the pictures, and the absolute first thing that I thought was, holy crap, this thing blows.
My original opinion was the same. But that went away actually pretty fast, because the more I thought about all the different things that this controller is going to be capable, as well as being able to put into a bay that is going to be a regular controller so that they're not even screwing themselves from third-party games, I think this has a lot of really cool potential.
And then you always have the fact that it's customizable, apparently. You can disconnect that secondary thing, turn it sideways, and you got your Nintendo controller. And...
Exactly. I noticed that too right away looking at this picture, is that you have that little remote control part. You turn that fucker sideways, you've got yourself a Nintendo Entertainment System controller. And that's a really good idea too. But you know, one of the things that not everybody knew right away was that it has, like, motion sensors in it.
As well as, like, a light gun type capability and all kinds of different stuff, and there's just a lot that they can do with this controller.
That doesn't mean it's going to be good, though.
No, it doesn't. And this is the thing, is I was really afraid when I first saw this thing. My first impression was, you know what, they're going to drop the fucking ball hard. Nintendo is going to... This is it. This is the final nail in their coffin, and I really, really felt that. And it was mainly because I didn't understand it, you know? I had... these screenshots and almost no text describing it. You know, it was like IGN or whoever the hell or whatever the hell website we were on would put up a screenshot and that was it. This is what you're going to be playing games with. So your initial impression is like, holy crap, how am I supposed to control games with this? It's bad enough with 75,000 buttons. You know, this isn't going to work. And then I saw that video, and that's what finally changed my mind. Once I realized the motion sensor part of it, where I could sit there and sword fight with it, or shoot pull, or whatever the hell it is that I want to do in the game, I could do that with this controller. You know, and you had your different attachments and whatnot, of course.
I think a great thing about this controller is it truly shows Nintendo's intention of having a fun, simple system. They want it simple, and they want it to be fun and cheap. They're saying, we're not going to make our console cost $300 to $400. This is something that a child could relatively afford if he, you know, saved up his piggy bank.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also that Nintendo is going back to, like, the NES days where they had the Power Glove and they had the Light Gun and they had all these different things, and they're trying their damnedest to actually change video gaming and make it something more instead of just doing the whole thing of bigger, better graphics. And I think more power to them, really.
And we all have Super Nintendo ROMs. We play MAME emulator stuff from, like, the 80s. And we play it because it's fun and it's simple and we just like it. And it's the same reason that people love puzzle games. It's not because they're overly complex. It's because they're small and simple.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're not all simple, though. There's a lot of these fucking games that I'm having a hard time with these days. Simple games that should be, well, they're games that should be simple, and I think I'm, like, getting old. I'll be like my grandpa pretty soon, like, I won't be able to play Mario Brothers. I'm, like, getting worse at playing these fucking games. It's really bizarre.
I suppose part of that is because you're getting older, maybe your reflexes are going down a little bit. But also, some of these games are actually very complex, I think. I think they're going in some routes that I don't particularly like. And I don't know if it's because we're getting older or if because they're just not really going in the right direction for video games as a whole.
I used to sit down and play something for months, you know, weeks at a time, and never move. And I could tell you what every button does to this day for most of those games. But I've played, like, even when I played Fable, I played the crap out of that. There were so many buttons and so many fucked up combinations of buttons, I had a hell of a time playing that game.
It's like those kids who memorize every single super move in Marvel Superhero.
Yeah, how the fuck, you know, like, okay, I used to play Street Fighter and knew everybody's moves, you know, and it's like I'm getting worse, because I haven't played in a couple years, and I'm down to just the few characters I still played, but I could control it back then. Now, you play, like, man, I don't know, the controls for fighting games are pretty much the same, but I don't know, RPGs I have a big problem with these days, and action games, like these adventure games or whatever, too many combinations of buttons for me. I don't know what the problem is, and I think, like, okay, the perfect example, Metal Gear Solid 2. I cannot play that fucking game. I can't do it.
I think it's just because Final Fantasy and EverQuest rotted your brain.
Ooh, you know, that very well could be, because I didn't have a problem until I played those two.
But how long did you play those two?
Each one for about 7 to 9 months.
Yeah, but we're not like 6 of those months were straight.
Yeah, I didn't do anything but play those games. Like, and in between those games, I didn't play shit all, really. I played like 4 games in between those two, and there was like a little period of a break in there, and it fucked me up. And then it's just like I'm looking at the Nintendo GameCube controller, and I'm like, wow, I can handle this. It's not like, you know, it doesn't have as many buttons. I can play F-Zero. I have a lot of fun with that. And what else did I try to play on that? Tales of Symphonia? Was that what it's called?
Yeah,
and I don't know. Like, that was all right, but I didn't like the control setup. For maybe just because it's a weird controller, because they have some buttons in weird places and that extra stick down there, and you still have to use the buttons, and maybe that's what my fucking problem is.
I actually really like the GameCube controller. A lot of people give it a lot of crap, but I think it fits well in my hands. There's more buttons than there seems to be, and I think they're actually placed pretty well.
It's comfortable. I just don't know if it works well.
But getting back onto the original topic of the actual controller, I think it's sort of weird that they're trying to make their controller basically a transformer. I know C4 said, how many of these add-ons am I going to have to buy to play these games? But one thing I did bring up was that the whole idea of selling the older games, I said, you know those old Atari sticks that have the ROM in them and you can play the games directly from the stick? I thought, maybe they're going to sell these add-ons with the actual game on the controller add-on.
I think that's actually a very, very possible thing. that you buy some kind of attachment, and it's going to come with some old games that'll use that attachment.
That's a really, really good idea. I was actually going to try to steer it back around from the GameCube controller to this, because I feel it's the same thing. It's like, it's comfortable, but I just don't know if it works. You know, I'm going to have to learn, to relearn how to play console games completely all over again with a way different controller. Way different controller.
I think that's okay.
Well, it's okay, I just don't know if I'm capable of it anymore, which I'm afraid of.
Although I am a little worried about how much exactly in the long run this controller is going to cost, because it looks like there might be some games that actually use two of them for one person, like maybe playing the drums or who else knows what all, and that all the different attachments and whatnot. These controllers could get quite pricey.
Well, I hope they stick to the whole it's going to be cheap route.
Player left.
I hope they give them to us for free. Like, if you buy, like, a role-playing game that wants a specific type of add-on, why not just pack it in with the game?
But then you have redundancy. It's like those games that come with, you know, a memory stick or something. It's like, well, I already have a memory stick, and they're charging me an extra $15 for it.
Yeah, that's true. But, no, you could sell two different versions of it, with and without the controller.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's going to add a bunch of cost to the manufacturer, and it all trickles down to the price on the consumer.
Which is going up anyway, no matter what we want to do. Look at, you know, didn't Microsoft say all their third-party stuff is going to be like $60, and the PlayStation 3, we were looking at $60 also or something?
That's 60 awful.
60 to 70.
Yeah, that's fucking
remember,
terrible.
I'm in Canada, so all these games cost an extra $10 for me. But then again, my average income is higher than your guys. Never mind.
Right, no, I mean, it works out to some point. Oh, shit, it could be worse. We could look at Australia. They get fucked. That's really bad. That is terrible for them. I mean, that stuff is really, really expensive.
And, you know, there is such a thing as inflation. I mean, games, we have been paying the same price for a very long time with games, but this huge jump from 50 to 70, that's not inflation, that's price gouging.
Hey, they can do it to gasoline.
I don't know how they could do it to gamers, though. Everything is getting cheaper to manufacture, and everything's getting cheaper to make. I don't know what their justification for this is.
The cost to develop the game is actually going up by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, look at the quality of the graphics and everything. And look at, I mean, every game coming out has 5.1, you know, Dolby Digital. They've got these ridiculous video cards in the hardware. And, you know, then they have to reprogram their engines for all this. And you've got to hire really, really good artists to make your stuff and programmers that don't suck.
Well, yeah, the thing is, with this new hardware, they're releasing new SDKs for the hardware. So it's not necessarily harder to make, it's just they need to use different functions.
Right, they got to adapt to it.
It's not all done manually.
But they do take more and more man hours to do, which you have to pay the people to make the games. Look, for example, at an extreme example. Someone who knows how to program and whatnot could program a version of Pong in an afternoon, where it takes a team of 50 people 2 years to make a game these days.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
And I'm sure they get paid more and more and more.
Not the developers, EA does.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Diddy Mow! Diddy Mow!
Hey, I have to say that, you know, I they're so evil, but, I mean, goddammit, they've got their name stamped all over Burnout, and I can't help myself. I'm weak. I'm weak.
I hate the music.
Unfortunately, they do have some pretty decent games every now and then. It just sucks how they go about making them.
Hey, I haven't paid for Burnout, so I'm still in the clear, but I did break down, and I picked up Battlefield a while back, and the weird thing was it was fun in the demo, and I bought the retail player for like a week, and then I was just like, oh, fuck this game, and I haven't touched it since then. It's really weird. Like, I felt bad. Like, here I am sitting here staring at this thing with EA all written all over it. It's got to go. It's got to be eBay or something. But back to this controller. Okay, now, as we were saying before, I really, really didn't like it. I saw the video, though, and once I realized we had all this, you know, this motion stuff, and where I could sit there and sword fight, I could use just the controller. I remember playing Suikoden 3 on the PS2, and I had, you could play that game one-handed. They set it up so you could use just the left side of your controller or just the right-hand side of your controller and play the whole fucking game, and it was beautiful. It was really the neatest thing I'd seen, because those kind of games, you sit there for hours on end, and you get tired of holding a controller sometimes, you know, and when you're on your 12th hour, you just need to, like, change the position of your hands or something, you know, it starts to hurt. So, you know, I thought, okay, I'm watching this, and you got, like, you could do, like, nunchucks with this thing, you know? And they're showing people shooting things and catching flies and using it like a flashlight. Imagine playing a first-person, like, Resident Evil, or, you know, and that's your flashlight. Or, hell, Doom, okay? You're playing Doom, and that's your flashlight, and in your left hand, you've got the analog stick, and you got the two trigger buttons to shoot. So you would be like you were playing that game, and that would be fat.
Now imagine something along the lines of they have a little addition where they have those kind of VR glasses where they have the two screens and that plugs into the controller, and now you can actually use the motion detection to have a VR shooting game. You actually turn and your character turns and you're shooting all over the place. How fat would that be?
That would be crazy. But that reminds me of Virtual Boy for some reason.
That was the first thing that popped into my head, too.
Well, yeah, but the glasses these days, all they are is little monitors inside the glasses, and so it's not like you're looking at red lines that are going to burn your frickin' eyes out.
That might be kind of expensive, though, but my big worry with this thing is I hope that this doesn't become, like, the power glove of the revolution, you know? Like, this be a gimmick of theirs, where they make 10 games for it when it first comes out, and everybody's all jazzed, and then there's nothing that really uses that much of the motion sensing stuff.
But this isn't like a hard drive, an optional hard drive. This is the controller. It is not some extra accessory for it. So
Wait. There is Nintendo. No. There is a conventional controller for this.
There is.
It's a shell. Nintendo said that they have a conventional controller shell, and like. It sounds as if you would slide the remote control part into the controller somehow, and it would become a wireless controller, just like the controllers that we know and love from all this time, you know, except for it would, you know, be wireless, and you'd have to plug in your remote control thing into this, like, shell of a controller to make it work.
But that's an add-on itself.
Yes, but it my guess is it comes with the system.
I would think so, too. They'll probably give you the shell, the controller, well, the shell, the remote, and the little analog add-on. They'll probably give you all that to start, and then I'm sure if you buy an extra controller, it'll probably come with the shell, more than likely, because I don't think very many people would only buy games that use just that control setup.
Not to mention, that shell is incredibly cheap, I guarantee it. What do you have? A little bit of wiring and a bunch of plastic. It's not like an actual controller where you have all the circuitry and all this other stuff. It's just going to be a bunch of plastic.
Yeah, so that's going to be okay. That's going to be all right, because you'll still be able to play all, you know, the old... Because how else are you going to play, like, the Super Nintendo games? You know, you've got to be able to play all those kind of games somehow. Hell, they might... They might release a controller for, like, the Nintendo 64. You know, could you imagine?
That would be funny.
No, that would be dope, because it's hard to play Nintendo 64 games on something other than a Nintendo 64 controller. I have a hell of a time trying to do it with every controller I've ever tried. That controller was just made for those games. So they might have, like, a conventional controller than, like, a Nintendo 64 shell or something, where you would have to slide your remote into that to play the Nintendo 64 games.
And buying that would probably come with some Super Nintendo games.
It's a Transformer controller, so that's probably going to be an add-on, too. That's going to cost you $20.
You know, it might be. It might end up being quite the money sink, but I think if they do it right, it could be very, very cool, and it could bring Nintendo out of this slump. And like C4 was saying, he's worried that they're only going to make 5 games that are going to use all this. Well, yeah, that would suck, because there's a lot that they could do with it, but at the very least, you still have the shell, and you can still play games normally, even if it does go that route. I see this as a win-win situation for Nintendo. At the very least, they have that shell, and no harm, no foul.
They better give it to you, though, because think about how many people actually buy the add-on stuff for their consoles. Not very many. If you didn't get a power pad with your Nintendo Entertainment System, you probably didn't have one. If you didn't get a light gun with your Sega Master System, you probably never bought one. If your Xbox 360 didn't come with a hard drive, you're probably not going to get one.
Well, they're going to need to do that, or else they lose all those third-party developers who are making games for Sony and Microsoft.
Exactly. You wouldn't have any ports otherwise.
I would imagine that the shell comes with it. But as for the other stuff, Nintendo has been known to package the pieces needed with the game. Like, Star Fox 64 came with a Rumble Pack. the that Donkey Kong game for the N64 came with the RAM expansion.
The original Bomberman came with the cable splitter.
Yeah, exactly. So they're known for this, and I think that's a really good thing. And those games did not cost any extra than any other game.
So, everyone happy with the top?
So far.
I just think they're going to fuck it up. I just think they're going to fuck it up.
And they
I still don't think they fucking delivered with the GameCube. I really don't. I bought the GameCube. I was hoping for all these awesome first-party titles. It never happened. And you know what? I just think Nintendo is trying to do something different, like with the DS and the two screens and the touch screen. And I just think it's not going to do that good. And I think it's going to annoy me more than anything.
I hate
that. Because I don't want to be waving around shit when I'm playing a game.
I think that could be awesome.
And I don't want to be buying 8 trillion add-ons for shit either.
No, I definitely understand that. Hold on, Final Dragon was actually trying to say something. Hold up.
I just hope that the revolution doesn't end up like the Dreamcast and that it's too little too late.
That's a definite real possibility, too. And that's a scary fucking thought because it felt like a part of me died inside when Sega left the hardware market. And if Nintendo was to go, too... I might just throw in the towel, man. I'll start, like, I don't know, watching TV and going to the movies all the time instead of playing games.
Four is dead to us.
Seriously.
I mean, it's easily possible to see the gaming market in 3 to 4 years as just Sony and Microsoft.
And that is a scary, scary thought, because Sony and Microsoft, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, stands on the shoulders of Nintendo. They always have. They're not ones to make those gutsy moves. It's Nintendo that brought in the analog stick, and Sony went, "Whoa, that worked real well. Let's add that." Then they've been notorious for that. And if Nintendo's gone, these two companies are going to have to start being the ones that do the progression of technology, aside from just bigger chips and hardware and whatnot. And I think if Nintendo dies, so does gaming.
And we all know how Microsoft stands on innovation.
Zing.
Where's Modem with his rim shot sound? Come on.
Rim shot.
You're really quick on the draw on that on IRC.
And the EA, you remember that statistic from a couple episodes ago where it's like they're all sequels.
Well, the sequel thing, yeah, 25 out of 26.
They're the largest publisher, and Sony and Microsoft are very similar in that. So the publisher's the same, the developers are the same. It's just going to go stagnant.
No matter how bad the game is, they keep making more, too. Tell me that fucking Tomb Raider sold well. That Angel of Darkness one that was buggy as all fuck. Well, hell, it might have sold pretty decent, but they're working on another one still.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. If Nintendo dies, what Nintendo's doing is trying to keep the industry from becoming stagnant. And I give them huge props. No matter what happens, at least they tried to continue the evolution of gaming as we know it.
Exactly why I always stand behind them.
But, come on. I love Nintendo, but if you sit back and look at it, okay, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to release a handheld system, but it's not going to have one screen. Oh, no. It's going to have two. And then the one, it's going to be a PDA touchscreen. It's going to be innovative. It's going to be awesome. It's not that.
You think so? Have you looked at the sales figures for that thing?
DS is actually kicking the PSP's ass.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the PSP either, but no, I haven't seen a game released that made me want to go out and get a DS.
I see a lot more DS games that I'd rather play than PSP games. Now, they have a couple. They have that new Burnout game. They have a few, but majority, if you go and look at the case with all the PSP stuff, they have like 30 movies that you can buy on regular DVD and then like 5 games.
Homebrew.
Yeah, it's not going to hell anyway.
That's just it. That's what gets me about the PSP is the hacking, the homebrew. The emulation, the games that are made by some dude sitting in his basement. That stuff, to me, is what kicks ass about that thing. Because as far as I can tell in the DS, all I want to play is Mario 64 DS, which I've already played, and I want to check out Nintendogs just to check it out.
I'm sorry, but that Yoshi game where you, like, draw where they're running and stuff, I think that looks like it could be kind of cool. Now, C4's rolling his eyes at me. But I do. I think that could be quite entertaining.
And unlike Zombie, I actually have 1.5 firmware, and I'm playing Super Nintendo games. I have a text editor on it. Hell, people have IRC clients on their PSP. It's not so much I bought it for a gaming system. I bought it so I could have a portable Super Nintendo system.
Exactly. Not to mention all the other random crap I could do with it.
Yeah, but they have powerful PDAs that'll do all that and more.
You're probably going to pay more for that, though.
Yeah, it's not going to be no $250. It's going to be a couple $100. They're like probably $400, $500, $600.
Yeah, but they can also do a whole lot more. You don't have to worry about hacking the hell out of it.
Keyboards and shit.
It's an actual system.
Touche.
Yeah. And then there are a few bad things, like basically all of the PSPs in the current system right now are over 1.5 firmware, which basically does not allow homebrew until someone cracks SHA, which is not going to take, it's going to take a few decades to do.
Actually, I read something that there's a couple of European-based cracking teams that are actually really close.
There was the YAB or something, and they were found out to be just basically fraudulent. They said they were having a downgrader come out, but that turned out it was just completely fake.
Oh, that would have been nice to have.
But my point is, Modem said that they do stuff, and it doesn't work, and yeah, that's fine, but at least they're fucking trying. What does Sony and Microsoft do?
Okay, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that.
Right, even if they drowned themselves, at least they tried to do something for us. And even if they don't make it a hit, at least, like, as far as, you know, money's concerned, in 10 years, somebody's going to say, fuck, why don't we have a game like that one game I played back on the Revolution that kicked my ass that I played every day? When I played that Star Wars game and I could swing that lightsaber around, that kicked ass. It's been 10 years since I had a game that much fun, and since then, Microsoft and fucking Sony haven't given us anything like that. We're playing on our Xbox fucking 1080 now, it's been 3 years, and our fucking, you know, PlayStation 5, and we're still using the same, you know, we're using the DualShock 8 now, which is the exact same. It's just, you know, see-through or green or something. And you're playing fucking Tomb Raider 27. You're playing Burnout 48. You know, fuck.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say. At least Nintendo tries. And I really, really hope that the Revolution does it.
I think this controller is going to give him a good step in the right direction, though. I think this opened up a lot of people to it, I think. I think it closed off a lot of people, too, but those were probably the people that weren't looking too forward to it anyway.
And I was reading a little article that was interviewing some developers, and one of them was Ubisoft, which, as I have mentioned, is one of my favorite developers for that kind of pushing-the-envelope stuff. And they're hella excited about it, and I'm really excited about what they're going to bring to the table.
I've got to try this thing. I don't know. It's going to be cheaper than everything else. I simply cannot afford an Xbox 360. In fact, I'm holding in my hand right now a cap from a Pepsi bottle with the code to try to win one. You know, you can enter them online. Like, Zombie won one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how awesome is that? So, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this going, damn it, this is the only way I'm going to get an Xbox 360. But the Revolution might actually be affordable.
I'm just happy the new Zelda is going to be on GameCube.
What would make the difference? If that thing was on the Revolution, you would still probably get to use your regular... Well, actually, you know what? You probably wouldn't get to use their controller shell. They'd probably have it all rigged up for their new... Whatever I want to... What the hell would you call this thing? Their new remote control slash nunchuck slash analog stick add-on?
But it just hit me. Remember how the lead guy for Zelda said this is going to be the last Zelda of its type? It just hit me that it's going to tie into the new controller. They're going to make it for the new controller. That's what he meant by it.
Yeah.
And you're going to probably do things like actually swing your sword. And I think if they do it right, that could be an awesome game.
You know what else is going to kick ass is maybe I'll get a little bit of exercise in my day, all right? Sitting in front of my TV for 8 hours a day swinging that motherfucking sword around.
We're going to see a kid walking down the street with like a giant right arm or something.
Not just from spanking it either. Like Modem.
Why me?
Because you're being awfully quiet for somebody who's usually the loudest and most outspoken.
Yeah, I got something going on right now. It's all good.
So stop playing World of Warcraft, goddammit.
Look, this priest and this hunter keep attacking me. What can I do?
So if we're done with this topic, I want to talk about White Chamber.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, this game is made by Trophis Studios or something. It's basically a free game it seems to be hand-drawn anime, and it's a point-and-click adventure game where you walk around stuff and solve puzzles, but it's also a horror game, and it's very sci-fi, and it is very scary, which is amazing for an adventure game where you basically control everything by the mouse and clicking for movement. Of course, this is a radio show, and this is going to be horrible radio, but I'm actually going to send a link to everyone in the chat.
That's okay. Do it anyway. Wait, okay. For the website? For the website for the game?
It is studiotrophis.com, and then it's like their only game, so just find it on there. And if you can't spell Trophis, put White Chamber into Google and you'll find it.
Yeah, it's the second hit. It's studiotrophis.com.
And it's actually quite short. I haven't beaten it because I actually died. It's like the only adventure game where I played where you can actually die. And but it apparently is short, but it is extremely good, and it's better than, you know, Still Life, which sucked.
You know, you showed us this last week or something in IRC, and I was checking it out, and it blew my mind, like, looking at it, but I somehow dismissed it. And now that I'm sitting here looking at it, now this looks really cool.
It is a very trippy game.
I'm really digging on the art style and stuff.
Yeah, go look at the background galleries. You look at the fan service one. That's all you need right there.
It is extremely trippy. You, like, walk into a room that you've been in, you know, 50 times or something, and all of a sudden there's blood everywhere and there's guts everywhere and there's a giant eye staring at you and a wall and the ground is, you know, disappeared or something, and then you walk out of the room again and you come back and it's perfectly normal. Like, it never happened.
Whoa. See, that's pretty cool. I like that kind of creepy shit like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to check this out.
The art style looks really cool. Like, it does look like you're almost like watching an anime the whole time. It looks really, really well done, graphically. I mean, speaking from what little I can tell by just sitting here looking at screenshots real quick.
Games like this just amaze me how people with free time and, you know, just effort can do stuff like this rather easily. They, like, took a pre-made engine. It's called, like, the Wintermute engine. And it's
no way.
To work with. And,
Wintermute engine?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so it's called the Wintermute engine. And basically, they did this with minimal programming and just, you know, some guy with a Wacom tablet and just drew all this shit.
That is awesome. And, you look at the site, and there's not a boatload of people here. It's not like you're looking at, like, you know, some major studio's, you know, site. Not like you're looking at, who's that, Black Isle, you know, and it's fucking 75,000 people or Blizzard, you know, or whatever, and there's, like, this giant list. There's, like, 10 people here. Well, maybe 20.
Yeah, you know, this is starting to happen more and more often. We keep talking about these games. It almost seems like there might be a really cool kind of revolution going on with the independent gaming, and it could be really cool.
I gotta wonder how many of these people that make games like this and these mods that just kick complete ass wind up, though, getting sucked into the system. Let's say this gets incredibly popular all of a sudden, they'll probably get a job offer from somebody, you know? EA comes down and says, you need to work for Criterion on the next Burnout, you know, here, have some money.
Well, and that's why they do it.
Yeah, it kills off, well, and it'll help kill off, you know, these guys. If they're making something somebody wants and it's free, that's money out of EA's pocket as far as they're concerned.
If I had the money, I would try to invest in a company like this and just, like, you know, make another game. Make, whatever this game's called, 2. I'm horrible. I forgot the name of the game.
Paste the website address into the IRC.
If you look on TeamSpeak, it's Studio Trophist. It's in the... Never mind. Yeah, this is great radio.
You lazy bastard.
Nah, he was out, like, talking to some chick or something. It wasn't WoW.
It was WoW, I swear.
Yeah. It was Mrs... What'd you call it? Mrs. Tuh.
Mrs. Tuh.
Shut up. Listen to him. We're dicks. You're the one who's been giving us shit for the last, 2 years or so.
Whatever. Girlfriends and More Entertainment Radio.
Oh. Well, that was a good find, Zayfan, on this game. This is the kind of stuff I'd rather talk about this kind of shit all the time than stuff like, you know, the new fucking Grand Theft Auto or the new whatever from fucking Electronic Arts. You know, Madden 2000, whatever.
I would, too. We should actually start really keeping our eyes out for this kind of stuff. And anybody who runs across it, please send us an email, because I'm really interested in this underground, independent-type stuff.
We should probably give these guys a link saying we talked about them, give them ultimate publicity.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, that's a good idea too.
This is really trippy looking.
Yeah, it looks good, huh?
The game. Is it a full game for free?
Yeah, it's short, but it's full.
There's the key word for modem. Is it free?
Free is good.
Free is very good.
I'd like to point out how this is a perfect example of how they use BitTorrent for their download.
Yeah, notice that.
They hosted on their website. They use BitTorrent, and to all the RAA, whatever the hell you guys' name are, you can go to hell. This is what BitTorrent's for.
Exactly. I knew it had a legal use somewhere.
I only use it for legal things.
Me too.
Me three.
I know.
Alright, let's see. What else did we have here then? Okay, we're looking at, how many days away are we now? We're at like 36 days, give or take, or 34 days or some shit from release of the Xbox 360. Now, we gotta take a little poll. Who's gonna buy one of these within the first 6 months, you think? Anybody here?
I don't know.
Me. I can't. There's no fucking way.
The only way I'd get it is if it was for a Christmas present.
Yeah, I really don't see me going out, rushing out and buying this unless there's some games that come out real quick that just look like they're going to kick my ass.
Console infidels, that's all I have to say.
Now, see, I see me... Okay, I want one, so I can see within 6 months somehow I will get one, because I want one, just to have the damn thing, just so that I can sit here and play the 4 or 5 games I'm going to want to play on it, and it kind of helps us with the show, being able to play, you know, the new stuff. So that's always it. That's my selling point to people that want to argue, why do you want that? Well, I kind of, you know, need it for research purposes, right? The problem is, I don't see myself being able to afford this thing. If I'm paying $50 to $70 a game, the damn console is going to be like $300 to $400. You know, you're looking at memory card costs, you're looking, this is getting really, really expensive. Sure, the hardware's nice.
Could be a tax write-off.
That's a great idea. I think, I don't know, it doesn't seem like they did enough from the Xbox to the Xbox 360 to really, like, okay, there's a great example of why I think the Revolution is so cool as it is. Look at how different it is. Than not only everything, than just the GameCube. Right? I'm looking at the Xbox 360 thinking to myself, this is a stripped down / pumped up Xbox. You get it with no hard drive, you're missing pieces of your Xbox, but it's a little bit faster. And you've got the same games. We're going to be playing, what's that race car one they have? Gotham 3 or whatever? You know, fucking Dead or Alive 4 or 5, I can't remember which one. 4, right? I'm not as excited as I probably should be.
I am actually most excited about Nintendo. The PlayStation looks like it's just going to be horrendously expensive right out the gate and for everything. The Xbox 360 looks like it's going to be a little cheaper. But, again, it's just, like you said, it's just more of the same. And unless I see something come out that makes me just go, oh, I need that, I don't see myself buying either of these right away.
Project Gotham Racing 3.
This makes me think of Super Mario 64 and how it just completely blew our minds and how there's nothing like that currently.
Exactly. When I could tell some fucking stories about that game. The day that I played that game, well, it was like a whole day, really. I mean, like, it was like hours, like 20 hours. I sat there, just my mind was blown. Has anybody looked at the list for the Xbox 360 release? I mean, we're looking at, okay, Resident Evil 5, a new Sonic the Hedgehog game, Dynasty Warriors 5. You notice? I'm saying 5! This is the fifth fucking game in the series. It's not like it's classic games either. Well, okay, Resident Evil's pretty damn great. But Dynasty Warriors, give me a fucking break. Final Fantasy 11, okay, that's pretty cool, but it's hella old and it's done with. Dead or Alive 4. You know, Quake 4, that's kind of cool, I guess. But again, we're still looking at more of the same that I'm going to want to play on the PC anyway.
Well, a lot of the Japanese RPGs are on, like, 12 and 7 or 8 or whatever, but each one of those is quite a bit different than the last, and they're more just like some common threads in the world and stuff that keep them together.
Ridge Racer 6? Amped 3? I mean, seriously, has anybody looked over this fucking list? Okay, okay, Rumble Roses 2. Now there is a game that we had to have, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Seriously.
At least for the PC, we got games that we are waiting for, like Fallout 3.
There's actually quite a bit coming through the pipe on the PC that I'm looking forward to.
Black and White 2.
Fuck that.
You hate Black and White, but...
I couldn't stand it.
Black and White sucked.
Yeah,
it
I didn't...
It came out and it was so buggy.
Maybe it was a good idea, and it was definitely different, so I gotta give him credit, but it didn't work for me at all. But I'll tell you what,
Civilization
though.
Civilization 4.
Civ, okay, there, you know what? Nobody wants to talk about the Xbox 360, huh? Even as cool as it is that everybody can get on Xbox Live for free for some things? Come on now, that's kind of neat, I think.
Fuck that. Well, I can do that on my computer. It's called the Internet.
Yay, I got mail. You're right. You know, you can. But you can't get access to all, you know, Microsoft's little cool things where you're going to be able to get, you know, earn points and whatnot, and they're going to have tournaments and all kinds of cool stuff, and you can download demos, which is nice. I'm tired of having to boil fucking Xbox or demo discs from the magazines, you know. They're going to have, you know, you'll have contests and tournaments, and you can build up points somehow and, you know, use them for whatever the hell you want to buy, whether it's levels that they release or whether it's, like, T-shirts or whatever the hell they're going to do with it. I think that's kind of cool. That's open to everybody, except for, you know, you have to pay if you want to do, like, all the multiplayer gaming and really utilize the system. At least you can still kind of get on it and poke around and see what's going on. I had very little problems with Xbox Live on you know, currently. Anyway, I used it for downloads for a couple different games, and I thought it was a great idea. What I didn't agree with, and I know Modem feels extremely strong about this, was the patches to games. Like, they did release patches, like fixes for some of the games, like Unreal Tournament or Championship, I mean, and some of those other first-person shooter ones, they had, like, fixes for them. Like, I want to say Rainbow Six 3, but maybe not that one, but other stuff just like it.
But the whole concept of patches on the console basically takes the one major advantage of console development away from themselves, which the PCs, you've always had patches, and so developers have this pre-built-in concept, well, if it's not perfect right away, we can throw out some patches for it. And now it's there with consoles, and now you're basically, your games are going to start getting buggier and buggier as developers get sloppier and publishers start pushing the deadlines even further, like EA would.
That's exactly what I said. See, that's what I said. See, everybody agrees with me. Just admit it.
The advantage of being able to patch a console game is a good thing. If there's a bug that the developers just flat out missed, it's really nice that they can be able to fix it instead of, well, you're fucked. For the next 10 years, anytime you want to put that game in, it's going to be broken. Well, but at the same time, you're right. It's the nature of the business that they're going to start getting pushed harder and harder, because now it does not have to be perfect.
We didn't really have too many problems, though, with the Xbox. And if the Xbox 3, like, with patches on the games on it, and if the Xbox 360 comes out and not everybody has a hard drive, they can't release patches for games to fix things like that. They have to release that game perfect enough that it's not going to crash on the average player. I don't think we're probably not going to see a quality going down. Our, you know, the quality testers are going to still do the same job.
But don't you guys realize how buggy games have been getting over the past few years with the PC? Like, I got one game to say to you, Vampire the Masquerade. As much as I love the guys from Black Isles who made that
wait,
game...
Wait, which
they
one?
They can't release that game. Vampire the Masquerade, Bloodlines.
Okay.
Bloodlines was incredibly buggy. And the funny thing is that they were done a year before it got released, and Half-Life said, no, you can't release this until we've released Half-Life. So that they sat on it for a year fixing the bugs.
Black Isles has never ever released a game that I know of that hasn't been extremely buggy. Fallout, Arcanium, this game, Fallout 2.
Right, but that's only been there since, like, Doom. I don't remember seeing patches on my PC games until, like, Doom came out.
I think Arcanium came after Doom, but basically, all of their games have been really, really awesome, but always extremely buggy for some reason. It's just a curse with their game.
Look at Bethesda. Fucking, what was it called? Arena, fucking Daggerfall, and then Morrowind. Those were incredibly buggy, too. But look how much more complicated they are than, you know, like, even, say, Doom, though, now. Now, look at our console games. They're just as complicated as those, And they're not half as buggy as PC games. I can't even install some PC games sometimes. They just... And then what's that one that I loved so much? I have it sitting right here somewhere, too. That fucking D&D game that, like, would wipe your shit out. It's only a few years old. Pool of Radiance, Ruins of Mythdranor.
Yeah.
The, in the PC genre's defense, they have to program software for hundreds, if not thousands, of different hardware configurations. And stuff is going to be buggy with different equipment. And the console people do not have to worry about that. You are playing their game on a very, very specific set of hardware.
Yeah,
and
true.
Software, like operating system.
That makes it a lot easier to code for, exactly.
That's also why a console can be incredibly less hardware powerful than a PC is, and yet still pump out the same quality. Because they're doing little programming...
That has a lot to do with the fact that it doesn't have an operating system running in the background.
Well, that is part of it, but it also has to do with the programmers can make little tweaks for the very specific hardware to make it run better.
But a lot of these things aren't exactly hardware bugs. They're more like logic errors. And for programmers out there, you know what a logic error is. But basically it means if this happens, that happens. And it's very true for things like in the Masquerade where you're just not given experience. Or the same line happens over and over again even though you've completed a quest. It's not a hardware issue. It's a logic structure issue.
Well, yeah, those kind of bugs have nothing to do with the hardware. But there are plenty of things where you have bugs where the code does not work with this sound card, and all of a sudden you're going to get weird audio problems and yada, 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 stuff like that. That happens a lot, too.
Christ, it wouldn't even work on some operating systems. Zayfan, weren't you just telling us that you couldn't install... I can't even remember what you were saying. I can't remember the name of the games.
Windows, I use Windows 2000.
AOE, right?
The reason is, AOE 3. I use Windows 2000 because it's basically Windows XP without all that extra stuff slapped on top of it. It's the exact same internal kernel, NT5. So I play my games on it because it uses less resources in the operating system. All these games nowadays, they don't support 2000, but they run on it because it's basically the same internal workings, but not AOE 3. AOE 3 refuses to install. It's not that the game won't run. I have an extremely high suspicion that it will run. But it just won't install. Install Shield just shuts down when it detects it, and that pisses me off. And I told them that my suspect was it was because it's a Microsoft-published game.
Yeah, no, that's actually very likely, and I'm sure that would be, like, crackable. But the problem is you're not going to run into enough people who care to have it done.
Now, I got to ask. You're up on your Service Pack 4 for that. You've got that one at whatever, the security roll-up. You've got a fresh, like, the new Windows installer. You've got DirectX 9C, right? You've got all this stuff handled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I assumed. I just had to ask.
Programmer, tweaker, man.
So, do you have another box that's either an XP or what? Well, it probably requires XP to run. Do you have an XP box handy?
I actually have a tri-boot on this system, so one of my partitions actually is XP. I just haven't taken the time to boot into XP and install it.
Okay, my thinking here wasn't, you know, to run a whole fucking install of XP. I was, you know, just to play one game that's only going to take you a little bit to play the demo. But if you could get maybe a friend to install it on his XP machine, a lot of these games will run without all that crap in the registry if you could just copy the directory and see. Particularly demos might run pretty well. It would be really interesting to try. Yeah, it'd be interesting to try just to see if it'd run. No, I completely understand, because...
Would it run if he installed it with XP and then ran it with 2000? Or all the registry keys and whatnot then geared towards the XP?
It's almost
most
the same.
Run without all those registry things. Most of the registry things nowadays just contain very minor things about your configuration, and it points to a few directories, and that might actually bug it out. If the XP is installed on a different partition than how, like, some other dude's partition is H and yours is C, that might mess it up in the registry.
Right. I'm pretty interested in this now, though. Like, I'm going to have to keep an eye on that and see if I can't come across a Windows 2000 machine at work to sabotage and try to install AOE 3 on it.
I could do that myself because, as I said, I have XP. I could just boot into XP, install it, then boot back into 2000 and copy it all over.
Right. That would be very, very interesting. I'd like to know what would happen with that, but that's a pisser, because that game was actually hella fun. I could not believe I had that much fun, because when I saw that thing, when I saw screenshots and video coming from E3, it looked like crap, I thought, and I had a big problem with the interface, and the interface still kind of sucks. I really don't like it. It's too big and bulky and in the fucking way. But, I don't know, whatever. Maybe you can mod it or something.
Yeah.
Modem's making fun of us on IRC.
I am not.
He doesn't like all the, like, he doesn't like all the non-strictly gaming talk. I guess I can understand that, though. That's not what we're here for. But it's still related to gaming, damn it.
Modem is the new hooks.
Oh, no. That's who we... Oh, fuck.
No way. No way.
See, Modem is just so nerdy that he doesn't like realizing just how bad he is because he actually likes
exactly.
us.
Exactly. That's what it is.
If I was the new hooks, I'd just have to, like, smoke a ton of pot and get beat up at clubs and stuff.
And hate everything that has to do with World of Warcraft because it's all fantasy-based.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have enough guns in it and not enough, I don't know, whatever the hell else he's into, sports.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that that Xbox 360 Live tournament bullshit you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be really cool if I was a college frat boy faggot who enjoyed sports games and Halo.
Right, no, I'm totally with you on that. No, that you're 100% right on that. I am in full agreement. However, I like the idea of being able to join a tournament of, say, I don't know, Unreal Championship.
Speaking of tournaments, I put out this idea earlier that we should... The gamer radio people should start playing Unreal Tournament as a tournament.
Who are those guys?
I don't know. Me. I know Meep has it. She
No. You said gamer radio. That's why I'm giving you a bad time.
No.
I don't know. People in the IRC channel.
Nah, game radio. Right. I gotcha.
Yeah.
People, no. Meep is not playing Unreal Tournament with you. Back off.
She would fucking destroy us all, by the way.
I am an awesome Unreal Tournament player.
I'm pretty badass myself, but I fear her. She fucking lays it down.
But I still think we should have a deathmatch in the name of game radio.
I think so, too. That is a good idea. We should definitely look into setting something up like that. Find a nice server that we can all crowd on one day and just take it over, and we'll have Modem yell at the other people that are on the server all day as if, like, we own the server or something and kick them off. Chase them off like he does people on IRC.
I do not.
You do too. You just kicked somebody else out.
I didn't Modem's kick somebody. I don't have ops. I can't kick people.
Yeah, but you make them feel so bad that they just leave when you start yelling at them. Now just get out. Get out of here. All right, fuckers. But no, that is a good idea. I would really, really like to do something like that one day. The biggest problem is I don't know. I'd like to be in on it, and, you know, my schedule sucks ass, because that's why I don't spend as much time on IRC. I'm there. I just can't sit and read it and talk anymore. And, you know, it'd be pretty fun, though. I would definitely like something like that. And, shit, if we could scrounge up some money, we could rent a server for some shit like this. But things are pretty bad over here right now, so that ain't going to happen for a while on this end anyway. Not until something changes. Like, I need to win the lottery or something.
Happen. Yeah, it'll go ahead and happen when the Girlfriends and More Entertainment Radio turns back into Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Ooh, I'm going to tell her you said that.
No, don't. Please don't.
Seriously, she has a bad enough time because she'll read IRC. Like, when I'm, like, off or something, she'll be here, and she's reading what you're saying, and it's just like, every day I'd come home, and she'd feel so bad about it. She's like, they really don't like this, do they? And, like... It feels like it's my fault you didn't record, even though it has nothing to do with her, you know, and she knows that, but the way that, you know, you're it's usually you, Modem, joking around about it being, you know, her fault, and she feels all bad, even though it has nothing to do with her. Asshole. Laugh it up.
So
all right.
News in front of
I'm
me.
Sorry.
Yeah, we got and, news, too. I got all kinds of email, too.
I had no idea I was causing relationship trouble.
I wouldn't quite call it that. In fact, I thought about getting her on here for just a little bit today, but then I was too afraid because you were here.
No, you should. It's cool.
No, it's not.
Hey, come on. I was saying nice stuff when I was drunk. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I know. But this is your public face, and I know that that's not a nice Modem, so.
Okay, just to throw this up nice. Here or there. Somewhere.
Yeah, because notice
Battlefront 2 closed beta is out.
Battlefront. Oh, for fuck's sake! Didn't they learn the first time when it sucked ass?
I didn't think Battlefront. Oh no, wait, that's another game. Never mind. Yeah, it sucked.
I hated that one. That was the one I remember trying to play on the Xbox. I kept falling off the platforms because I couldn't control it, and the troopers were so fucking stupid.
It was better on the PC because it just was not working with that controller. But, yeah, it was a pretty suck-ass game.
Yeah. Closed betas out, File Planet's a whore, and we got emails.
File Planet's a whore. No, we do have emails. I gotta go take a piss, though, so I'm sure you guys can think of something else to talk about. What about the show, the thing that we have to talk about every show, or it's just not a show? Now, does anybody have any... Anybody have any Jack Thompson news?
No. I don't even... I still have no idea who's got...
I try to ignore that news because the more I talk about Jack Thompson, it's going on in my head saying, you're talking about Jack Thompson. Jack Thompson's getting publicity. Even though it's bad publicity, it's still publicity. I can't talk about it. No!
No, that makes a lot of sense, too. I hate bringing it up, too. Like, I like talking about it with other people. And plus, I just get mad now. Like, I just... his name pops in my head, and I get angry, and I can't even talk to people. I'm to the point where I just... there's so much I want to say and just rip into about it that I just, you know, I'm just to the point where it's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not even going to talk about it. Did you see Rockstar nailed him pretty good? That's because you don't listen to the show.
Yeah, I do.
You lie. But,
how can you say that?
How can I say that? You remind us every week. Anywho.
I do it out of love.
Yeah. Rockstar set up a website for Liberty City Stories, the PlayStation Portable GTA they're coming out with, and they've got, like, apparently some stuff that they used to kind of slap Jack Thompson around a little bit on the site. You know, it blows...
That was funny. That was like something off.
It was what? Sorry.
Well, it was like something awful where they had that fake website.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, you got cut off over here for some reason, I don't know. But it's rockstargames.com/LibertyCityStories. That should get you to the site. And they've got, like, all kinds of weird stuff here. Like, this. I love this, Citizens United Negating Technology. That's C-U-N-T, in case you're not following. And there's some other part to it where it spells flaps somehow. But it's got, like, fake emails and shit on it, and, like, from Jack... Well, it didn't say Jack Thompson. It says JT in wherever the hell he lives, like Florida and shit.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I'm sure now he's all kinds of pissed off. In fact, he sent an email. Oh, I'm sure he will, and he'll get all kinds of publicity about it. He even sent out an email because he was pissed off about, like, you go to their website, you see this thing, and he wrote an email that says, when you click on the fake email, banner headline at the top of the homepage, which he spelled top wrong, I think, from JT, the Miami, Florida, Liberty City anti-violent video game crusader, you will find that JT, Jack Thompson, likes to surf the internet for pictures depicting deviant sex acts by teenage girls. Additionally, there is at the site an audio ad featuring a man whose name is Jack, who is found naked by a mother in her son's room. Bisexual pedophile Jack Thompson is the combined message. Take-Two Rockstar has created and paid for an actual internet website at citizensunitednegatingtechnology.org for the purpose of furthering the notion that his most abiding and most effective critic, Jack Thompson, is himself a sexual pervert. This is the oldest dodge used in by the porn industry, first used by Jack Thompson by radio pornographers, whom Thompson got fined by the FCC in 1989. Jack Thompson can assure the world that the only thing to which he is addicted to is eating entertainment industry scofflaws for breakfast and golf. There is this whole thing. He's all kinds of pissed off.
And off.
Yeah, well, fuck him anyway.
Who is this man?
Gee, I can't believe you don't know. Take 5 minutes and go poke his name into Google or something, or go to thompsonwatch.com. This is a great fucking site for news about him.
Just to put it out there, MAME 0.100 is out. So
no way! Wow. I'm a little behind.
It came out like 3 days ago.
Nice. I'm behind on my sets, actually. I think I'm down to like 0.92, I think, or 0.93. I need to get busy.
Instead of going just version 1, it's now version 0.100.
Yeah. I wish they'd just pull it together already and finish it, but whatever. It does so much already. Alright, I need... I need to just take just 2 minutes, well, maybe 5 minutes here. I gotta go take a piss and go smoke a cigarette. Kobar and I might have to take shifts on smoking so we can sit here and still talk and somebody will be here to keep talking.
Smoking is bad.
Yes, it is. It is really bad. Because one day you're gonna be on the show, I'm gonna be all, this is C4.
Kids, we do not support smoking. C4 is a bad man.
I am. Smoking is bad, and I'm sorry to our friends that work at Philip Morris.
Okay, so I am currently using Firefox 1.5 Beta 1.
Oh yeah, how's that work?
It's 1.5, but in beta form. It's actually quite different, mostly with the UI. For example, you know that RSS indicator is no longer in the bottom right corner, it's actually in the address bar. The menu buttons highlight as you move your mouse over them. The option menu is completely different now. And I actually like the new difference. It looks a lot smaller and a lot sleeker. I haven't tried a lot of the new functions. Like, I know there is download resuming, I think, but I actually haven't tested that out. Everything feels a lot faster. The browser itself, the pages load faster. Apparently, the back and forward button, it caches the data slightly more efficiently. I like it. And I haven't encountered any bugs.
That has been a problem with Firefox that I've noticed, is that it does load pages a little slow.
So I recommend people to go out and get the 1.5 Beta 1, because it's awesome, and I haven't found any bugs. And all the extensions I use, which is Spellbound and Bug Me Not, are currently updated for the 1.5 Beta 1.
Okay, has anybody here happened to play any of Altilier Isis or Altia Iris or whatever the hell it is?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What did you say, Kobar?
Well, I think it's pronounced like it's French, like it's Altia Isis or something. Anyway, it's an RPG from Japan. I've been playing it a little bit, and I actually don't know what to think about it. Basically, it's very, you know, the Japanese are all into this alchemy type thing, this item synthesis, and it's the sixth in the series, and in the past, the game has actually been all about the item creation and whatnot, and there's actually been very little battle and whatnot, and so in this one, there's a lot more battle and stuff, but it's still very into the item creation. But there's all this animation and crap involved, and so every time you have to create an item to use it in battle or something, there's like sprites dancing around and all kinds of stuff, and it gets a little ridiculous.
Oberon, do you have a microphone?
He said he does, but he can't use it because his parents are sleeping. Because he's
awesome.
A huge vagina.
Why does no one talk on this show?
Anyway, I gotta check that game out, and I gotta check, Ease or Eyes or however you pronounce that shit that C4 played a while back. And then I gotta check out Shining Tears also. Yeah, I gotta check out those three.
It's so far, I think it's pretty cool. It's a little linear. You just go from place to place on the map. There's no, like, world map. There's a problem with the sound. I had to turn off the voice acting because it just randomly decides to play only half the clip or something. And that's not so bad because the voice acting in games kind of sucks anyway.
Yeah, I hear that.
All in all, I think it's pretty good. I have to put a little more time in to decide just how much I like it or not. But if you're into more traditional RPGs, the whole turn-based type thing, this might be something to check out.
I'm surprised you're playing it, because I didn't think a game that doesn't masturbate your eyes would be your kind of game.
Well, I really like the visual style of this game. I'm really into sprites. I miss them. I think they're really cool looking, and the whole anime thing, I really like it in video games and whatnot.
Did you look in IRC real quick?
Oh, good lord.
That's awful.
I think you got fans, Kobar.
You know what?
I bet he's fucking Kobar fan.
Someone's got to be.
We're making references to IRC as we do the show.
And yeah, it is a bad radio show.
No, we get it all put together. It'll sound pretty good.
We should release the IRC log as we do the show with the audio.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad idea.
You shouldn't, because it shows how abusive I am and no one will ever join IRC ever again.
C4, you gotta hurry back. This is degenerating fast.
Man, it'd be a lot cooler if I knew what the hell is going on and I could talk about stuff. Like, apparently there is a hurricane or something. I was unaware of that until a little bit ago.
What?
My grandma was like talking about some hurricane that happened. I was like, oh really? Is it a hurricane? I wasn't aware. She's like, yeah.
Dude.
Like the entire southern states are gone, and I'm like, wow, okay.
That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I'm a little,
not because
I'm a little
I give
out of it.
No, it's not terrible. It's good though. It's because see, like, I don't care so much. Like, it doesn't really seem to bother me too much. I don't know, like, I don't feel bad. I feel like, boy, you guys are stupid. You guys fucked up. You guys should have got the hell out of Dodge. You knew it was coming. I don't care what somebody told you. You should have common sense enough to get the hell out of there. Okay? Now, and the problem I have is now that it sucks down there for those people that should have got out and they didn't, you know, you can't bitch about losing your home and all that though, okay? You knew it was gonna happen. It was coming. You know, that's too bad, so sad. But what sucks now is the situation going on down there where people are shooting people and, you know, the cops are all fucked up and, you know, not showing up to work, and I'm sure they're doing all kinds of bad shit to some of them because they got some pretty dirty cops down there, and there's, you know, people getting raped and killed and all kinds of shit. People can't eat. Doesn't really bother me because I'm not one of them, but it still kind of sucks for them, I'm sure, you know? But I'm saying it's a good thing that you don't know because I wish that I was that into a game, like I have been many times in the past, that I wasn't aware of what was going on. Call me a cold, heartless bastard.
But then again, we're probably all going to hell.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I'm positive. And, you know, You know, cold, heartless bastard, I'm sure people are like, I'm never listening to you guys again because of your outlook. Fine. I don't care.
Let's hope Jack Thompson never hears this show. The gamers don't care for the black people.
The looters. Oh, fuck.
I'm not
sure.
Going to hell.
I'm sure Modem didn't see. Okay, so I know you're out of the news. There was this great there was a newspaper article where it was showing a bunch of black people down there, like, picking up shit, you know, like, just, like looting, essentially. And it's all, the caption was like, you know, these people were caught looting, blah, blah, blah. Right fucking next to it or whatever, there's a picture of white people going, these white people found supplies to survive on. How fucking bad is that?
Yahoo.
That's fucking terrible. Yeah, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was uncalled for.
Don't they have, like, proofreaders over at Yahoo?
Yeah, apparently they get paid a whole lot. Yeah, you know what? By the way, we gotta stop talking about this crap because it doesn't have anything to do with games.
Girlfriends and more entertainment radio.
We could talk about girls again, but I don't know. There's games to be talked about, like the fucking PlayStation 3, which I don't know what to think about. I don't like the controller style at all for some reason. This thing, it seems like it's going to be really, really uncomfortable to me. Anybody, nobody's seen his picture?
Anyone want to hear my rant? My OCD rant?
Absolutely, those are great.
It's probably going to suck because I haven't actually written it and I have no idea what I'm talking about. But it has to do with Battlestar Galactica. Now, as you all know, if you watch Battlestar Galactica, they have this odd obsession with everything being in the shape of a hexagon. Their paper, the videos, their monitors, everything is in the shape of a hexagon. And this bugs me to no end. And I think like two episodes ago, like seven or something, the most dreadful thing happened to me. I was watching the show, and someone had a CD on their finger. It wasn't round. It was in the shape of a hexagon. They had a CD in the shape of a hexagon. What? How does that even work? I can sort of understand, you know, manholes and paper and videos being in the shape of a hexagon. I have no idea why you would do that, but it was in the shape of a hexagon. CDs, if you do not know, involve spinning. If the CD can't spin, that means the laser is doing a bunch of this weird light show stuff, and it sort of defies how it reads the binary because it's about reflecting the laser, and it's just sort of scientifically not likely they would do that. It completely defies the concept of how CDs currently work in reality. And that gave me an aneurysm of some sort. And, you know, in the most recent episode, there was actually a display. Someone printed out a computer display and showed it to another, well, it was actually a chick. And the chick looked at it, and I actually saw on the thing hex. They showed code output in hex. Now, that's actually realistic, but it was still in hex. And
yeah.
Even worse, it was on a piece of paper that was in the shape of a hexagon. The paper was in the shape of a hexagon with hex on it, and it was like looking into a mirror facing another mirror. I was looking into a continuum of infinity. It was awful.
That's terrible.
That's when my eyes started bleeding.
That's pretty funny. I've never actually seen the show, and I know Kobar tells me I need to watch it, but I haven't had time to watch shit lately. Like, I have only even seen two episodes of Weeds so far, and that's supposed to be such a good show.
You've only seen two episodes?
I haven't had fucking any time. It was all I could do to watch House, the season premiere the other day. I actually managed to watch that on TV, no less. I wasn't here. I was out of town.
It's a 30-minute show. Just watch them. What the fuck?
I seriously haven't had time. I just between work and having so many other things to do, I haven't had a chance to play very many games. I got Mr. Playing WoW all day. No job.
I'm a busy man.
All right, you know what? Here, let me take a look at some of these. What?
No, I was just going to say, everybody needs to check out Weeds, because it's a really cool show. It's like a 35-minute show about, and it's on like Showtime or HBO or something. And it's really weird humor, but it's good. So go check it out.
Weeds is the shit. It's on Showtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It's on the interweb.
Yeah, you can download it. Go get it.
Not that we would condone such a thing.
Except for me.
Right.
Yeah, he would.
No way. All right. We've got an email here from Cushion.
Oh yeah.
How long is this gonna be?
Make some more popcorn.
I will eventually be Cushion.
What are you talking about? I saw your little comment on IRC. I'm not even listening. I'm just eating popcorn, watching the OC, making comments every now and again. Oh, okay. Hey, C4 and Kobar and guest hosts. That would be everybody in here. Oberon's in here, too, but I don't know if he has a microphone or he's just quiet or hasn't said anything since I've been here. Oh, no microphone. Okay. Congratulations on hitting your 100th episode. Since I've been a long-time listener and a relatively early emailer to the show, I thought I would send in a review or two for this centennial episode. With this in mind, I went down to the local video store hoping to score some major titles to review, like Burnout Revenge, Hulk Ultimate Destruction, or maybe even 187 Ride or Die for the Ghetto Cheese Factor. Instead, well, at least I got two recent titles, Dark Watch and Flat Out. In Dark Watch, you play as a Wild West gunslinger who picks the wrong train to rob. You climb aboard the train of the Dark Watch Society. And when you go to blow the safe on the train, you find out it's not so full of money. Instead, it was their vampire containment unit that was housing the king of the vampires. When you release the king, a ghostly shockwave goes out, awaking the dead army of darkness style, and turning you into a vampire, I guess. Okay, that part's not so clear. I mean, if the blast awakens the dead, why would it turn you undead? You know what, let's just skip that and call it the first sign this game isn't going to be so great. The second sign is that your character's name is Jericho Cross, and the king's name is Lazarus. When a character's name is in a supernatural themed game, movie, or anything is something like Jericho Cross, you know the developers were just a step away from calling the character Jesus McHoly and spelling it out for you. Ah, laughing too hard to keep reading. Jericho's gun skills will come in handy since this is a most Halo-inspired first-person shooter, although it is set in the Old West with vampires, zombies, and skeletons, so there is originality in there somewhere, and the characters are Western-themed. Zombie gunslingers are the basic shooters, zombie riflemen are the snipers, and ghostly barmaids act as the screaming sirens. Think Dracula's Wives from Van Helsing. But that's about where the originality stops. All the rest are straight Halo trademarks. You can only carry two guns at once, some are even dual weapons, you have a regenerating shield for no explained reason, and the controls would definitely give you deja vu. More on the controls in a minute. As a whole, the game seems very clunky and sloppy. This becomes apparent the first time you go to start a new game and the screen says, "Error loading profile, retry." Here's a pro tip. Let's see. Say no to the error to start the damn game. Don't they have those pro tips in GamePro magazine, like little sections, like next to the reviews and shit?
Yeah, I think so.
That's awesome. The game also doesn't transition well from the action to the cutscenes. Sometimes you fire the last shot at the boss, and before their lifeline can tick down, the cutscene is already off running. As far as the cutscenes go, don't get your hopes up. Everything looks very plastic and mediocre. It's hard to root for Jericho when he looks like Dudley Do-Right and his female mentor has a giraffe neck and one long shell for breasts.
Oh, no.
Even the very basic first-person shooter stuff seems messed up. Let's say you're in a hallway, staying tight to the right wall. The game will force your aim to the left as if you're getting stuck into the wall and need to move away to even aim straight ahead. Now that's sucky design. But I guess I shouldn't complain about the aiming in this game. The game thoroughly believes in one-hit kill headshots, and the game mostly sends wave after wave of skeleton grunts after you, running at full speed and getting in your face like they all want your autograph. Don't worry if you don't kill them all before they reach you. Just spin around like a crack addict and melee attack them for the same easy effect. Each baddie also leaves a moderate amount of health. This combined with the shield gives you a great never-dying feeling that really kills the intense action. But the game does try to add a little something special, in that you can choose good or evil actions throughout the game. A meter charts how many good or evil deeds you've done. Do enough deeds and you get a special light or dark power-up. The story will actually change with you, so that's a nice touch besides just giving you certain skills. As far as the actual game goes, the in-depth graphics are mostly as clean and plastic as the cutscenes, almost a little too clean for a grimy Old West vampire game. The sound is also pretty standard first-person shooter fare, also a little choppy in spots, but it is a nice touch to hear that old familiar Western tune in the background. Ooh, wait, I can't do that. You know what it's like? I'm sure that's what that's supposed to be, but written down.
Yeah.
You sound like a retard.
I know. That's why we do this every week. As for the controls, straight up Halo. Okay, maybe fucked up Halo is a better term. Let me explain. The triggers do the usual firing and grenade throwing. The weapons are basically Old West Van Helsing versions of the standard FPS guns. But instead of grenades, you get dynamite, which your guy throws about a mile away at the press of a button. If you were used to throwing a grenade to the end of a hallway to wipe out a squad like in Halo, forget it here. Instead, aim for the sniper all the way across the valley. As for the regular four action buttons, this game was smart enough to keep the layout from Halo, but they flipped them upside down so not to look like a complete knockoff. But I mentioned they're non-configurable? That's right. Just get used to doing melee attacks with the reload button and jumping with the triangle button. Seriously, what fucking game uses triangle to jump? I hate that button to jump to, because I think that, what was that game that we were playing a little bit ago? The Norath one, Champions of Norath. I thought that, didn't that use that?
I don't remember it having.
Was it not? It must have been one just like it then. It was on the Xbox, and you could. Maybe I was playing Dark Alliance, and I could jump in, and that was the button I had left over for jump because it didn't help me. But God, it pisses me off. Anyway, overall, this is a very average first-person shooter that only gets points for the original idea and game setting. The rest just seems slapped together and rather clunky. In fact, with all the whipping around and in-your-face enemies, this could have easily been a gun game like Lethal Enforcers or Silent Scope. Only get this if you're dying for a console first-person shooter or you're really interested in the concept. I call this a $15 game out of 50, definitely rental material. Well, that sucks, too, because I thought the game was... God, it could have been so cool. And that train ride part of it was... Well, when you boarded the train, that was dope.
Yeah, the idea is actually really cool. I like the whole Western thing with, like, the steam-powered guns and stuff. I think that's actually a pretty cool idea.
I gotta be honest. I just wanted to check it out because I heard there's a sex scene in it.
Yeah, that'd be modem for you.
I don't know. I had pretty high hopes for it. I thought it had major potential, but it looks like they blew it. I guess as expected, too, that's the worst part. Let's see. Carrying on, the other game I rented was Flat Out. This one's been advertised on TV and looked like a pretty good racer, so I thought I would give it a try. However, upon starting up the game, you soon realize this is the Big Mother Truckers version of Burnout 3. Instead of picking from a garage of full, shiny, expensive cars and traveling all over the world to race, you choose from a pile of POSs who wants to play as the Burnout Dotson. And then you go to race in a field behind the abandoned Kmart. As far as the races go, there's not much to them. Sure, the emphasis is on crashes like in Burnout, your boost meter even builds when you crash, but there isn't any sense of speed to the race to make the crashes exciting. Most of the environment is destructible, and the pieces stay on the field for a while, which is a nice touch. The crashes themselves are okay, and the real draw of this game is how crashes launch the driver out of the car. This sounds cool, but the execution isn't. You see, the game uses ragdoll physics on the drivers, which is great for dead bodies and first-person shooters, but here, it just looks like a sack of potatoes with two broken legs was driving the car. At least show the driver screaming and reacting before it hits and goes limp. Speaking of going limp, you'll also be disappointed in how your cars show damage. Wobbly tires are nice, but the frame starts to crumple up like a Coke can, and the front of the car will break away to reveal your engine, a dinky lawnmower engine sitting in a block. Modifications can be made to the cars between rounds, but if I'm starting with a lawn boy mower, I don't think Cooter's Garage can help me that much. The game also includes some mini-games, like in Crazy Taxi. Instead, this game, the goal is to launch your dummy driver into things like dartboards, and giant bowling pins for points. Once again, this sounds good on paper, but the execution and way to launch the drivers is pretty shoddy. The graphics themselves aren't too bad, but there is draw-in and some crashes. The camera will go through the car. I thought these problems died in the PS1 era. The sound is pretty bad, though. To be like Burnout and their semi-nobody singers, Flat Out hires absolute nobody singers to scream and mumble during the game. If the crappy music doesn't wear out your mute button, the sound effects will. For example, on an all-dirt construction sidetrack, the gravel sounds like your car is popping popcorn for the entire race. The controls are actually pretty good, but then it's hard to mess up a Burnout clone's controls. Sadly, the cars are touch and go, so the controls don't help that much, and watch out for their load times. I told you this game was cheap. This is one of those games where the loading bar will race up to 99% and then wait about a minute or two longer. In fact, the game froze up on me at 99%, and I thought I was just loading for an extra 5 minutes.
I hate that.
Overall, if this is a $20 game, I would be surprised. This just looks and feels like it was made on the cheap to cash in on Burnout 3's success. I'd say this is a $10 game at most, only because you can get the real Burnout 3 for $20, or just upgrade altogether and get Burnout Revenge to at least rent over this. Well, that's about it for me. Congrats again for making it to 100 episodes, and I hope there are many more. I'm not saying do the show until the end of time, but it would be nice to see an established audio show make it past 100 without the host losing interest or just fading away. Oh, and shouts to Robo Christian and Zayfan for joining the long email crew. I'm not worried about losing my crown, but let's at least alternate leaks for the sake of the show. Talk to you soon, Cushion.
That kind of sucks because, I was just going to say real quick, a lot of people on Gen May were talking about Flat Out, and some of them liked it, but it just sounds like Burnout for Hicks with ragdoll physics.
Yeah, apparently.
I actually played this game for PC, and the graphics were actually really, really good at the time I played it, and I really liked the minigames. The minigames were fun.
Minigames?
Yeah, the things he was talking about where you hit a wall, and then your guy flies out, and you have to hit...
Like a target, and there's bowling pins and shit.
Oh, right. And you get money for that and stuff.
See, now, that might be fairly interesting for a little bit, but, like, in Burnout, you've got the crash events, which are really fucking cool, where you're trying to rack up points of damage by creating, like, a giant, giant accident. I think those are a lot of fun, and better suited to games, to racing games like this, I think.
It even has a touch of a puzzle element, because you have to decide where you're going to go and how you're going to do it, adds a little strategy to something.
But the thing about this game that doesn't make it feel like Burnout is that if you hit a wall, you are screwed. It's like Need for Speed. If you make if you mess up during the track, everyone speeds ahead of you, and you're going to have a hell of a time catching up. Where in Need for Speed, you just, you know, well, I'm in the back now. Now I get to crash everyone and boost up. You can't do that very well in Flat Out.
Ah. Have you had a chance to play Revenge, Burnout Revenge?
No, I only have Legends. I don't have a console.
Oh, right, okay. Fuck, I got a chance to play Burnout Revenge the other day, and I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun. It's Burnout 3 with some minor enhancements. Like, you know, I could swear it's been a while since I played Burnout 3, but I could swear there was a driver in the cars. I could swear you could see a body in there, and I just don't remember. But he didn't do anything. He didn't really react. He never flew out of the car, nothing. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember. Anyway, or maybe I was looking at screenshots for Burnout Revenge, and they had a driver. But I'll tell you what, I didn't see a driver in my car when I was playing Burnout Revenge. Like, I'm just driving the car, and it's, like, just an empty vehicle, which is kind of strange.
Well, yeah, I'm actually playing Legends as I speak, and I don't see a driver in my car.
Okay, maybe that's just something that I've just never really picked up on, and I never had a driver in Burnout 3. I just assumed I did.
Well, especially in Legends, frankly, a driver is just a waste of resources. That's just more shit for the computer to draw that's not necessary.
Now, while I still have some ears, I want Cushion to know that not only did this time my jaw get all tired of reading, that my hand cramped up, because on TeamSpeak here, we're doing this show over TeamSpeak, I have to hold down the fucking mouse button to keep talking, and it's my thumb, and it got all cramped up. Owie. We've set a new record here. Now, let's see, we got another email, and this is from Tommy. He sent us the email a while back about the Cognitive Daily stuff. Remember that we were looking for the articles on gaming stuff, on using it, and we found the thing using it in schools and whatnot. Hi, C4 Cobar and Lester Noten Brand. That would be the rest of you that's hanging out here. Thank God we've got some other people here. I was hoping that we'd get a lot more people on TeamSpeak today, but maybe it's just a bad day to do this Sunday. You know, a lot of people at church and everything, because we have some very together, upstanding individuals that spend their day in church on Sundays instead of blowing people up in virtual games.
Sure.
You do?
Sure, exactly. Let's see. First off, a big thank you for pulling off 100 episodes. Just keep them coming because they really make my day. First off, that Japanese 8-bit stuff sucked. If you want 8-bit, go Amiga. If you want to be cool, listen to Sid Tunes. I remember I was hooked on the Last Ninja soundtrack. Now, I've heard some of this 8-bit Amiga stuff, but there's a lot of cool stuff out there. There is some really cool stuff out there, but it's a very different thing than, like, YMCK. So it really depends on, you know, what you like to hear. Let's see, and just the other week, I heard a song from the Beastie Boys that uses a track from The Last Ninja to rap to. Very cool, in my opinion. Just look it up, it's called An Open Letter to NYC. Anyway, I referred you way back to cogdaily.com, but you couldn't find the articles I mentioned. Now, I'm sure we mentioned it a bit ago, and anyway, if you can't remember it, it's cognitivedaily.com/, and then there's four different articles here. It's ?P... at the letter P, like you're taking a piss, equals 39, 40, and 41. Those are the articles. Especially for you, they made a section about video games, and that's actually cognitivedaily.com/?CAT, like as in category, equals 9. Kobar mentioned what the fuss is about. They are just polygons, people. Remember when you said that? They're just polygons, people, right? Let's see. First, be aware that people have always been afraid of math and therefore hate scientists, as the Series 5 explained in great detail. If you play a game like Fear and Scared Shitless, or played a game of Battlefield 2, you must concur that the games are damn realistic. And if it's not visuals, It's the reality of it all, like GTA or The Sims. People having sex is normal as well, but you don't let a 12-year-old watch hardcore porn video. That's why they invented the internet. By the way, did you have a look at the Quake 4 movie where John Carmack shows all sorts of stuff? Looks like a lame game to me. However, they have a cutscene where you have been captured and transformed into a drone. It's all from first person and was really sick to watch. People screaming all the time, legs getting sawed off. All very visual. I hope that game is 17+. How nice of you putting Jack Thompson's address on the air. However, you forgot to mention that www.itssendaturd.com offers a special and dedicated service for people like Jack. Jack must really like small children that he protects their fragile minds with such enthusiasm. Looking forward to your next show, Tommy. That's awesome. Yeah, so go send Jack Thompson a turd. Sendaturd.com. Let's see, what else did we have?
Do you need to pay someone to do that?
No, I'm pretty sure it's like one of those automated website things where you go in and punch in the email address and it fills in his name in certain places, I'm sure. Probably something like that. Now, let's see, we've got another email here from, this must be his clan tag, HBMS, and his name is Walter Cronkite. Isn't that the news guy or something?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yo, C4 and Cobar, on episode 99, you had a bit of a personal gaming story. Well, I have another to add. I'm from Bellingham, Washington, but I'm currently doing a summer job in Fairbanks, Alaska, as a tour bus driver and guide. My job sucks 8 to 10 hours of every day since I got here. No days off. Which means when I get a chance to get some gaming in, I jump on it. My favorite game has been Dave Defeat, and I've got a couple of guys I used to play with on a daily basis, and damn it all, I miss them. So the other day when I found that I had a day off, I set myself up for a quest. I knew that if I could get to the hotel downtown that I could get on their Wi-Fi and play some DOD on my laptop. I packed 3 cans of soda, a couple of granola bars, and any candy I could get a hold of. Then I suited up for the cold. It's what could be called fall here in Fairbanks, which just means that it's cold enough to slip to your death on outside ice. So when I packed my laptop in my backpack and headed on a 5-mile walk to the hotel just to play Day of Defeat, I took my life into my own hands. I burst out of my crappy temporary apartment into the bitter chill, my freshly polished military boots gleaming in the sun. I sneaked past the 3 liquor stores to avoid being asked for spare change or cigarettes. I don't smoke and spent all my change on sodas and candy. Plus, I can't be held back from playing my game with all my homies. I charge on, crossing 5-lane streets long since iced over. 5 miles later, I set up my rig in the lobby of the hotel. I start loading Day of Defeat and realize that I am in full view of all the older folks walking through the hotel taking tours. I quickly try to remember what I have on my desktop. Lucky for me, it's a screenshot from Day of Defeat Source and not the naked goth chick that was there a week ago. Lo and behold, I get an update, new message from Steam. Day of Defeat Source is preloading. Sweet. To make a long story short, I played 6 straight hours of Day of Defeat without even touching the food in my bag. I even got a few guys coming up and asking me what I was playing. Then I told them the premise, and they seemed pleased, but then started critiquing the weapons. The M1 doesn't look like that, doesn't shoot like that. Who makes these games anyway? Back in my day. But I don't mind. If I can get old World War II vets to start playing Day of Defeat, then I can make the world a better place, frag by frag. P.S. I know you guys are tired of World War II shooters, but please take a look at Day of Defeat Source when it comes out on the 26th. It's big news to the non-fantasy crowd. Have a good one, HBMS Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, that's good. We'll have to check in.
What?
I was just saying cool. That's good. We should check into that because we do realize that some people like other things that we may not, and we try our best to look into that stuff.
Well, I've actually been playing Day of Defeat for quite a while. I actually haven't been playing it currently, but a few years ago I did, and it is a quite fun game, and it's fun, and I don't see it actually changing very much with Source.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks a whole lot nicer, though.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what's fucking awesome? Gmail just went down.
Lie.
Dude, I can't get there.
For me.
It tells me, oops, suck my ass. I was too, and as long as I didn't click anything, I could stay in.
I checked my email, dear Zathan, I hate you.
Look, I'm there right now, and I was just reading, and I clicked to another email, and it says, oops, system unable to perform operation, please try again in a few seconds.
It's not like Gmail's just one server, it's like a farm of servers.
Well, I know, but all it takes is something stupid to go down to cut them all off.
Well, I'm browsing it perfectly.
Well, go read our email for us, because I can't.
Okay, give me your...
Oddly enough, I'm behind the same router, and I can get in just fine.
What the fuck? This is Google's way of telling us for me to shut up and stop reading emails. Which is okay, because my hand is tired of holding this damn mouse button down in the first place.
Okay, in that case, I actually have another thing to talk about.
Awesome, hit me.
Now, if I didn't lose my email last time, I would have actually sent you an email about this, but I lost it, so I got to talk about it in live. As you all know, they're probably making another Spider-Man 3 movie. Actually, they are making another Spider-Man movie, and it's going to be 3. And this time, the villain slash other guy is going to be Venom. And we all love Venom.
Ooh.
But the horrible thing about this is they've casted the actor who plays Eric Foreman in That 70s Show as Brock. As Brock!
That
now,
doesn't work.
Don't know, Brock is like a 6'3", 290-pound, blonde jock, basically.
Yeah, what's his name? Eddie Brock?
Mr. Yeah, that's it.
Now, wait a second. I could have sworn that they said that they were never going to do Venom.
Apparently, that's what I read on FARC. Everyone knows how reliable FARC is.
Well, maybe they just changed their mind because they realized just how popular. He's certainly my favorite.
I'm looking at the IMDb right now, and I'm trying to find...
Yeah, that's exactly where I wound up, too.
I can't find anything. Oh, wait, maybe I can.
Yeah, this is great radio. We're all here searching. And fucking Gmail keeps telling me, fuck you, I can't get on the goddamn thing. I won't let you check your email. Fine!
Okay, well, I read on FARC... IMDb doesn't really have anything besides, you know, Peter Parker and Mary Jane on it.
They were probably asked to pull the other info.
Yeah, I read on some, you know, Hollywood Live site that the actor who plays Eric Foreman, who if you watch The 70s Show, you know that there's like a gag where his girlfriend beats him up.
Yeah, because he's this little tiny small guy.
He's not really small, but he's skinny as hell. He has like my build. He's tall, but gangly.
Actors have been known to put on some pounds and muscle and whatnot for a role.
And that's what it said. The actor, what's his name, is working out. But I can't see him getting nearly to the size of, you know, Eddie Brock, who is like a bodybuilder type guy. He doesn't
Yeah, exactly.
But that's his build.
I could see, like, you know, Vin Diesel doing that.
Well, yeah, but, like, take a look at Edward Norton in American History X. He's a spindly little guy and everything else, but he's frickin' ripped in that movie.
He's still not very... He's not huge, though. You know, he's not big enough to play this big, hulky dude, but he's got some serious muscle on him, though.
He still looks enough of a badass to play that badass character.
No.
I don't see it either.
Does Eric Foreman look badass at all?
No, even if he was ripped, I'd still laugh my fucking ass off at the guy. There's no way. He's just goofy looking. He kind of looks, I don't know, he reminds me of me, except for I'm fatter.
Well, and that just leads me to believe that this might have been some faulty information, because like I said, first of all, the story from 2 is pushing the second Hobgoblin or Green Goblin or whichever it's called, I can't remember, where his son, that's what the story is leading towards, and I heard them say, or read them say, that they were not going to do Venom. So this might have just been false information.
Oh, okay, I found it. Prepare for bad radio linkage.
Ruh-roh.
Okay, there it is. And this is from freezedriedmovies.com.
Oh, good lord. Yeah, that's a huge link.
And just basically type in what I typed in, which was Eddie Brock, Spider-Man 3, into Google, and it's the first link. It's actually a link to Dig.
Okay, tinyurl.com/7mmc7.
And the guy's name is Topher Grace. I thought my name is Topher Grace.
Spider-Man 3, May 4th, 2007. Damn, they got a date and everything already, huh? And nobody else has any information?
I don't actually look at news that much, so I have no idea how reliable freeze-dried movies is, but So they don't look too bad.
That homo is playing Venom.
Welcome to the show, Modem. And, you know, if they was actually said that they weren't going to have Venom in a Spider-Man ever, and they're doing it now, I wonder if that's because maybe Spider-Man 2 didn't go over as well as I thought. I have never even seen that all the way through. I've watched, like, 40 minutes of it.
Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, I've seen about 40 minutes of it, and I keep falling asleep.
You crazy bastards. That movie was awesome.
Spider-Man just sucked.
See? I knew Modem would be with me on this.
Venom is an uber character. Exactly. Like my favorite character.
Venom is a fucking badass. They have to have him in there. It's like it'd be like Batman without the Joker in there somewhere, you know?
Oh, I agree, but that's just what I read in an article that Sam Raimi put out. He had no plans to do Venom.
Looks like he got owned because if this holds any water, damn. All right, well, that dried up quick. I was kind of hoping everybody keep talking, but that doesn't happen. So I got another email from the Ghost. This one's actually really short, so you can put your popcorn down there, Modem. Kick your feet down off the table and listen to this for a second. Your attention span will be able to handle this one. From the Ghost, it says, Okie, I was listening to 99. I heard you were talking about the Battle.net server emulators and World of Warcraft emulators. Here is the scoop. Diablo 1 and 2, StarCraft, Warcraft 1, 2, and 3 use an emulator called PVPGN. And there's a link. It's pvpgn.org. And for World of Warcraft, there are many, many, many emulators for it. If you wish for WoW emulator links, just email me back and I'll get it for you. No, I'm not talking about the sandbox. That's some pretty interesting shit there.
Yeah, especially since they already have the server emulators for live WoW. It took many years for the programmers and whatnot to break EQ1.
I know Kobar knows this, but I was actually a GM on a Ultima Online server. You know the Run UO you were talking about? I was actually on the Run UO server as a GM.
Oh, wow.
You guys should interview me.
I think we should. What is it like to be a GM, Zayfan?
It sucks.
Yeah, I bet.
It's actually, you basically have people messaging you all day saying how somehow, magically, an item was stolen from them, even though it's pretty much impossible that something like that could have happened, or a guard magically killed them, because even though they were committing no crimes in town. And that's about it. And then the boss, Ryan, who actually is the lead guy, he's as crooked as hell. Like, for example, he inflated the player rates of the game. Like, basically, when you log in, it says, there are this many players playing at this time, and they basically put a plus 50 onto that integer. And he did a bunch of other stuff, and he basically forced people, like, every day he would open up everyone's browser, if they clicked OK, to Gmail ads. And he said, if this many people click open, I'll give you all free items and stuff. So it was actually pretty bad.
Jesus. God, people suck.
Yeah, I imagine being a GM it would be a whole lot of a headache.
Yeah, but then I can give my player free money, so that was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think that's the part of these kind of games that Kobar hates the most, having to earn money.
Oh, yeah, I suck at it in real life, too.
See, I don't suck at it in the virtual world, but in the real world, I'm terrible. We do have another email here. This one's pretty cool. Check this out. It's from Madar, M-A-D-A-R. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Madar. Dear C4 and Kobar and Random Zombie Host, I have been listening to the show for about 9 months now, and I wanted to write in and let you know how much I enjoy it. This will probably sound kind of crazy, but I don't really even play games. I do, however, listen to every episode. In my younger years, I was a Nintendo fan, but as I got older, I found that I had less and less time and patience for games. Wow, that sounds a lot like where I'm looking at right now, and it's kind of scary. Like, I haven't played shit in so long, and when I do, I give them, like, an hour, maybe two, and I'm just like, ugh, unless it totally rocks my world, and that's so few and far between, I haven't played shit.
Makes me sad.
Makes me sad, too. So here is my dilemma. After hearing you guys talk about games all the time, I really, really feel the need to pick up something good to play, just for a little bit now and then, spoken like a true junkie. Just a little bit. Just a taste. The catch is that I'm a Linux user, one of those wacko devotee no Microsoft in my house types. And there are no Linux games that I know of that are really doing it for me. Linux has quite a few nice games I like, Frozen Bubble, Tux Racer, now Penguin Planet, and Linux has loads of first-person shooter games available like Doom 3, Quake, etc. However, I have yet to find a decent RPG. I recently downloaded an MMORPG called Plane Shift, but I was unimpressed with both the state and development of the graphics, which kind of sucked. I'm currently in the process of acquiring in a copy of Neverwinter Nights, and I'm wondering if you guys have any experience with it. I'm looking for a D&D-style RPG or even a Zelda-like adventure game. I love it. I heart Zelda. Any advice you could offer would be greatly appreciated, unless it involves installing Microsoft products. I'm actually considering purchasing a new Nintendo when they come out, but I live in Taiwan, and English language games are few and far between over here. I learned this mistake when I bought a Game Boy Advance a couple years back. I'm really not that into having to import every game I buy. If any of your listeners are looking for Nix games, I would recommend checking out the Linux Games Tomb at happypenguin.org. Also, if anyone is interested in a few new jetpack-based... in a fun new jetpack-based first-person shooter, the free game Legends is starting to come together to a point where it's playable. Not my sort of thing, but still good fun. Anyway, the show is great. I really look forward to seeing that link on Hacker Media when it pops up. I also like to see that you've started doing movie reviews. I told my wife about your rating system, and we have now adopted our own how many NTD local currency out of 220 NTD movie rating system. That's awesome. Anyhow, keep up the awesome work. Madara, PS, the audio on 99 sounded way better. If you're looking for a movie worth checking out, give Primer a look-see. That's fucking fat. Have we got an email from Taiwan before?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's awesome. All right, and I'm really pissed at myself because I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name wrong. So, you know what? And I'm reading the email, and as I'm reading it, and he's you know, I'm looking for an RPG, the only thing that came to mind, and this is what's sad, the only thing that came to mind was, like, Rogue, you know, NetHack, and fucking Neverwinter Nights. And Neverwinter Nights, I would say, is the more realistic choice because it's new. It's got real graphics, not just a couple little character, you know, little antsy bouncing around the screen. You got these little ASCII characters for your dragons and character and all this crap.
Neverwinter Nights, I don't like it. Every time I try to play it, I make my character, I get through the training thing, I start playing the real game, and I just get bored as sin. There's just nothing really to it. I hear that some of the mod community and some of the online stuff is actually really popular and really cool. I have no idea about the Linux version and if it connects to Windows users. If not, you might have a really hard time with the online stuff. But a lot of people really like Neverwinter Nights, and it might be something worth giving a shot.
I'm going to say very, very little about Neverwinter Nights. I had almost the same experience. I own it. I install it, make my guy, spend 3 or 4 hours getting into the guy. I play through, like, the first part of it, and as soon as I'm released to do whatever I want, I lose interest and turn it off. However, my feeling is the problem with that game is because I'm playing alone. You know, and I believe when playing online with a bunch of people, dude, play with your wife, and I bet you'll have more fun than you know what to do with. Because there is a ton of free mods out there for that. They have a name for it, it's not mods, it's something else, and I forget whatever it's called. But then they are way cool. And I bet if you play with more than one person, it would kick ass.
Well, and yeah, that was what it was designed to be. It was not really designed to be the single-player game.
Plus, you might be able to find a good community of people that run their own games, you know, just like one of them plays as the GM, you know, and then you could, and then that I think that would be the perfect game to buy. Last I checked, and tell you what, this is like months after Neverwinter first came out, so the last thing I think I remember about that, at least as far as running on Linux goes, was that the videos didn't work. Now, I'm sure they fixed all that. It's been years since I've even considered looking at that, because using Linux, to me, is not productive for two things, which is why I have to keep a Windows machine around. One, video encoding. I do not like the way that Linux does it. It doesn't have enough tools for me to do what I want to do. And gaming. So I can't use it for that. I cannot tolerate it. It's not worth the headache, and there's not enough of it, no matter what I do. You know, I've tried everything from, you know, Wine to even Heroes of Might and Magic 3, which, what was it? Was it Loki? I can't remember who it was now. They put out, you know, a couple of games that worked, but it wasn't the same as playing on Windows because you didn't have the expansion packs for something like that. You know, it just didn't work. So it was like, well, why the fuck would I want to play this, you know, in Linux when I can play it in Windows and get a way better game? You know, I mean, sure, maybe it didn't run as good. You know, I mean, it still ran fine because you just have barely enough hardware. But I was kind of depressed because it was like, wow, you know, this is a step in the right direction. And now they're, like, out of business and shut down a long time ago. You know, it sucks. And Tribes was a good example, too.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but if you're going to be a gamer on your computer, you have to use Windows. It's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, but that blows. That really does suck ass. You know, Frozen Bubble's fun, but you can only play it for so long. It's kind of like, what's that? You get the little ball down the bottom, you shoot it up, and it knocks out other colored balls. What's it called? Puzzle Bobble or some shit?
Bubble Bobble.
Is that what it is? Okay, it's just like that. You know, it's pretty cool shit, though. But I think you're on the right path with Neverwinter Nights, because it's like, it's recent, the graphics are good. It's definitely the thing to play if you have the people to play with.
Yeah, like I said, it's all about the online when it comes to that game. And you need to do some research before you shell out the cash and find out if you can connect to Windows players. Or maybe, like C4 said, you can play with your wife or whatever. But this is not a game that the single player is just any sort of decent, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, at least that we feel. Exactly. I'm sure there's people that play it single player, but, I mean, Jesus God, I don't know how.
Right.
All right, let's see. Our next email is from Soul. This is awesome because this squarely falls into the entertainment category. This is an exploding pen. Check this out. One ballpoint pen. This is your ingredients. One ballpoint pen, some gunpowder, 8 or 10 match heads, a matchstick, and a sheet of sandpaper. It looks like it says, oh, Jesus, 1 piece, 1 inch by 2 inches. Directions. Unscrew the pen and remove all parts, but leave the button in the top. Stick the matchstick in the part of the pen clicker where the other little parts and the ink fill was. Roll sandpaper up and put around matchstick that is in the clicker. Put the remaining match heads inside the pen and make sure they are on the inside of the sandpaper. Put a small piece of paper or something in the other end of the pen where the ballpoint comes out. Fill the end with the piece of paper in it like gunpowder. The paper's to keep the powder from spilling.
So wait a second.
You click the pen and it like basically catches on fire and blows up. That's kind of cool.
In your hand.
Not your hand. Somebody you don't like's hand. Hey, boss, you need a pen?
We don't condone this activity.
Thank you, Zayfan. You beat me to the disclaimer.
No, this activity I do claim is hilarious.
He told me on IRC what he said, and that was awesome. I was like, oh, I can't wait to read this one. Let's see, we hit another email from... Oh, in fact, speaking of Ultima Online before, this is from the same gentleman, Mitch. Aloha again. During my time online, I've come across a reasonably detailed description of all the custom software for emulating servers and the alternate clients for UO. These are the people that explain this type of thing for a profession. This link might help out. I'm not reading all that. It's at the Wikipedia, and look for Ultima Online emulation, and it's got like everything. It tells you everything you want to know because the wiki kicks ass. I think that pretty much does it for email that I was going to read on this show, because there's two from a dude named Lance and Sebastian that I need to actually write back. I'm sorry, I'm a slacker. It's been like 2 weeks, I'm sure. I don't know. September 9th, only 1 week. I'm good. 9 days. Can't think of anything else that I actually wanted to talk about. I was hoping we'd get a whole lot more people. Oh, the intro. Scyther. Thank you. That was, I was going to mention that at the very beginning and somehow space that one out.
Yeah, I laughed pretty hard at that. That was a good intro. It was pretty solidly done.
Yeah, it was. That was nice. I think Modem fell asleep. Final Dragoon probably went to bed, and Oberon doesn't have a mic.
I got something for you, C4. Look at the messages.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm still here.
Yeah,
I'm still
right.
Here. I just haven't had anything to comment on.
Wait. Is this screenshots from when you're a GM in UO?
Yeah. Oh, crap. I messed up the HTML. Hold on. There's another image.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because there's the ones that are the same. That's funny shit, though. There's this character fucking saying physical harassment. Somebody stole his virginity. I demand it be replaced. Oh, my God. God, that's terrible.
Okay, refresh the page.
Okay. Stop touching me. Jesus Christ.
I think I would have more of that stuff.
Yeah, really. Probably a huge collection of that kind of shit. I can only imagine what happens to people. Oh, my, and what they say. Good Lord. All right, Modem.
What's up?
You got anything to talk about World of Warcraft you and Kobar can gay out on for a while?
Man, Kobar doesn't know anything about World of Warcraft.
Oh!
I know nothing.
I was like, here, man, here is my account with my 42 shaman on it. Knock yourself out. It's a separate account. Play on it. Do whatever you want. Have fun. He logged in for about 15 minutes. Was like, this is excellent. This is awesome. I'm going to check this out again. And he never, ever, ever logged back in.
Now, I'll tell you what, in case the listeners don't know, Kobar has this serious problem.
It's a sickness.
It really, really is. Modem, you can probably describe it better than I can.
Well, he gets World of Warcraft, and
he's
then he makes, like, 9 or 10 characters, and he levels them all up to, like, between 10 and, I don't know, like, 25.
The thing of it is he does this with all these. It's like a it's like chronic noob syndrome or something. He does this with all the MMORPGs, and it's been getting worse, which is the problem. Like, I remember playing Final Fantasy XI with him, and we forced him to get a guy to level 40 so he would play with us, and it didn't work out. That was like a struggle. That was like, it burned him out going that high in the levels. Out of 75, we forced him to get a character's job to 40, and it killed him. You know, he healed from that, and then what'd you start playing, EverQuest 2? And it was like, he couldn't get a guy past, like, mid-20s or so, it seemed like.
Yeah.
No, but he...
Okay,
he had a guy 32, but he had 8 dudes that were between 12 and 21, maybe. And now in EverQuest 2, you don't even become your fucking class until you're 20!
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't even experience hardly any of the game before level 40...
I don't know.
So then I was like, here. I was like, play this fucking guy.
But he knows the noob levels backwards and forwards, though, let me tell you.
Yeah. So,
like those newbie zones. Yeah, so he gets World of Warcraft. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, this is going to be good. He'll actually get to experience, you know, being level 60, max level in this game, and it's going to kick ass. It'll take him, you know, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks for the average person. So we'll give Kobar here 4 weeks to get a dude to 60. And instead, how many classes are in this game?
8 or 9.
And he has like 12 dudes.
I have more than that.
And it's like, what the fuck?
I don't know what to do with him. I give up. He's your friend. You do something with
him. I there's nothing I can do. He's just not allowed to play these kind of games anymore, I think. It's a waste of money. And here he is talking about wanting to play Guild Wars, where you can start your character at maximum level, and he probably won't even do that. He'll be like, no, I want to build my guy up from level 1 all the way to 20, and he'll get stuck at, like, level 9.
I don't know what to do with him sometimes. I really don't.
I don't either.
So, I don't know. I really don't know what to say.
Have ye anything to say to defend thyself?
There's no excuse.
There isn't. That's exactly the problem. If you're going to play a game like this, you may as well actually go all the way and play. You're the only person I know who plays these games how the companies want you to play them. Very slowly.
Well, in my defense, I start playing a character, and then I start looking at the other characters and go, ooh, I want to check that out. And then, ooh, I want to check that out. And I just keep going like that. I guess that's not really in my defense, it's just an explanation.
That's horrible.
I know
but then
what
you
we
just
have
get
to
sick
do.
Of it.
What's that,
you just
Dragoon?
Get sick of it, though.
I think we just have to make a character for him, level to 60 for him, that way he can actually play the end game.
That's not a bad idea. Get his account info and do it for him. It'll take Modem all of, what, 3 days?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I could at least burn up all his guys' rested experience, you know? I don't know, it's almost sad.
It is, it's like a waste.
Everybody's making fun of World of Warcraft. Oh, the level cap's 60, that's so low, and you level so fast. Blah, 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 let's make fun of World of Warcraft. And now look at this, Cobra's like level 25.
It'll be worse, though. The next game will come out, and it'll be even faster to level and even lower. Shit, Guild Wars is the perfect example, and I know you can't do that. He won't be able to pull that off.
Yeah, the
level
cap's
what, 3 guys at level 6.
20?
3 guys at level 6.
He's doing it already. He's doing it already.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
The worst part is that in Guild Wars, you only have 4 characters left.
Oh.
See, he's going to keep deleting and starting over.
Yeah, that's all that means to me is I end up deleting everything I've done, and then go, hey, wait, I wanted to play that character some more, so I have to start from ground zero again.
And you'll love every minute of it, and that's the part that I don't understand. Jesus Christ.
Oh, well. I'll never understand. You, Kobar.
What's that?
Of the 50 character slots available in World of Warcraft, how many of those have you filled out?
Oh, God. Well, you get what, 12 per server?
10 per server.
I've probably filled
Wait,
out...
Wait, hang on. He's borrowing some of my fingers and toes. Hold on.
Probably about somewhere in the neighborhood of 16, which is quite a few more than there are classes for those that aren't counting.
That's horrible. Like, see, okay, when these kind of games come out, I do so much reading and planning ahead of time, I know what the fuck I'm going to be release day. I know ahead of time what I want to do, and I beeline for that and do everything I can to be the fat version of whatever it is, the class I want.
Yeah, and then it ends up being the GIMP motherfucker.
Every motherfucking time.
Well, see, but you have it easy. What do you like to do? You like to be the thief, the rogue, that sort of thing. What do I like to do? I like to be support, of which they got rid of.
Yeah, that does make it kind of difficult, I guess. It's usually cut and dry for me. I do like playing wizards and stuff like that, though, in these kind of games a lot, too. But I always wind up playing the rogue type, because I think they're just that much more fun for me, and they are always GIMPed. Although, now that the goddamn expansion pack is out for EverQuest 2, and now that I'm not playing, Hunter's telling me that the assassins are actually useful, and he was like, I'll buy your account from you. Come on, I want it. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. And there's no way I'll get back into it. The account's canceled. It's over. I'm not playing that anymore. And now he's telling me that it's actually worth playing for me. GIMPed ass motherfucker for 10 months, and now it's worth playing again? Fuck that. They burned me.
Play EVE Online.
Is it out? Or is it, like, soon?
Oh, it's been out forever, but remember that story we talked about pre-show?
Oh, right. No, yeah, I remember that. I do. I remembered it, but I wasn't, like, I don't know anything about the game other than that story that happened.
Okay, I'm going to talk about it because... Unless anyone else want to talk about things?
I was just going to mention really fast. I said this in IRC before, but I think after I'm done with my World of Warcraft phase or whatever, it's probably going to be it for me in the MMOs. I think this is probably going to be just... I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to handle another one, so this will probably be it.
See, the thing is you will be able to handle another one. It's just going to take the right one. Now, see, I felt the same way with Final Fantasy. I really did. I was like, oh, no, this is it. This game was just too uber, and I loved it. You know, and then I couldn't, and this is what I'm afraid is going to happen to you, you won't be able to play anything else. You're going to get, okay, let's just say tomorrow, you're like, all right, you know what, World of Warcraft, they patched it, they finally broke it, too bad. You know, I'm quitting, that's it, I'm done, and you have no desire to play this game anymore. Then what you do is you sit there and you wonder what it is that you're going to do with all this newfound time on your hands. And you're not going to know what to do with yourself. And then you're going to do what I did. You're going to go out and buy, or whatever the hell it is that you do, you're going to get yourself like 10 games, and you're going to be pissed because you spent so much fucking money on all these games, and you're going to play each one for like 20 minutes. And the whole time you're playing, you're thinking, this would be a whole lot more fun if I was online with a million other people, and I was building myself up. Even if it's something like Burnout, where, you know, it doesn't keep track or anything, but what if it did keep track, and you earned money, and you could buy different parts, and you could tour around the world and had to pay for it, you know, and it became like a real community thing, and all of a sudden, people would have reputations. There would be drivers that you would be so scared of to run into on the road, you know, or on Xbox Live or whatever the hell it is. You would not want to race people because they would have, you know, a following. You would know the guy. They'd be popular. And I think that's what makes it so hard for me to play a lot of things after coming out of an MMO, is that it's just like, eh, this is kind of fun, but it's not getting me anywhere. You know, I'm like, I'm mildly entertained playing, you know, say F-Zero, you know, or Burnout Revenge. Yeah, this is pretty cool. But, shit, man, I could be playing, you know, fucking EverQuest 2, and I could be in some dungeon down there somewhere, and making some money, and building my character up, and, you know, who knows, maybe because I played for that extra hour today, and I got that extra platinum piece, I can buy something that's going to be on the market tomorrow, and it's going to make me that much better, and it's going to be that much more worth putting your time into. It's almost like it's not worth putting your time into something if it's not, like, adding you stuff, adding stuff to your character.
Yeah, but I was just speaking, like, strictly MMO-wise. I don't think, I mean, whenever I look at another MMO, I'm just going to be like, well, I like this about World of Warcraft more, and I like, the, you know, that and this and that, and I can't see myself playing another one. I really can't. And I already have, like, a whole detox plan going for when I finally quit. What am I going to do to fill my time?
I got to hear this.
Well, it's just a whole bunch of the games that I bought and never beat because something or other came up.
Right.
When I went and splurged that month, I took off a while. I still got all that shit sitting around, and I've never touched it.
Okay, wait. How many things did you get that month?
It was mostly just a bunch of stuff from,
I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Give me a number. How many games did you get that you want to play in that 1 month?
I can't remember all the names exactly, but...
No, I don't want names. Just give me a number.
Yeah. It was probably around 11 or 12.
Okay. Now, wait. Okay, I quit Final Fantasy.
I was just going to say, that was just games, though. I ordered a bunch of movies. I ordered some CDs. I got a Suicide Girls subscription. I did all kinds of bullshit.
Exactly. This is what happened to me when I came out of Final Fantasy XI, when I finally shook it. And I was so pissed off at that game because, you know, I just got burned and I was mad. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I got all this time on my hands to play these great fucking games. I went out and I bought, like, in the first day, like, three games, right? Next day, I buy two more games. I've got games sitting here. I got a pile of games that are sealed still from that first month when I quit Final Fantasy XI that I still have either not opened. I've got a lot of them. There's like six or seven here still that aren't even opened. And then I've got about five that I opened, put in, watched the intro movie, and was like, wow, this game I bet rocks. You know, and then I put it back on the shelf and was like, okay, I'll play this a little bit later. You know, I got to do something around the house. And I'd get distracted or whatever, and then the whole day would go by. And then day three would come around, and I'd go buy another game, or I'd find something else that I wanted to do. I'd try to, you know, I'd buy a new book. You know, I'd get all this crap, and I never fucking did it. And it gets in my head that it's like, it's worthless because I'm not getting myself somewhere in a game, you know? And I think you're in for it. I think you're in for the same round. And then you're going to sit there, and about 4 months are going to go by, and you're going to have not played a goddamn thing. And then you're going to say, wow, this new game, whatever the hell it is, I don't know yet, is going to be on the horizon. And you're going to obsess yourself with it because it looks about the best thing going, and you think, maybe I could get into that. And when it does come out, you're going to get it, and you're going to give it a try, and you're going to be like, oh, I'm not so sure about this. And then you're going to, like, almost, your mind is going to trick you into liking it, because you're going to be like, this is that feeling again, even though it's not exactly how I remember it. This is that same feeling I got, and I had a goddamn good doing that, so I'm going to enjoy this, damn it. And you're going to wind up getting hooked on another one, I bet anything.
I don't think I can handle it, man. I won't be able to do it. Well, I couldn't even, after all that Final Fantasy XI, and you guys kind of, you had your break and you splurges or whatever, but then you hopped to EQ2 pretty fast. I mean, if you actually look at the big picture, there wasn't that much time between the two, and I just can't see myself doing it. I mean, it almost makes me sick to my stomach. Because I've just invested so much time into this, I couldn't imagine doing it all over again.
Yeah, Modem has invested a fuck ton of time into WoW.
And that's fine and dandy. I'm glad. I wish I could. I'm jealous. I wish I could do that, too. I love that. I love being that hooked where I'm at work and I'm daydreaming about playing a video game. I love it. That's the best thing in the world to me. You know, the problem is there's nothing like that for me now. And I would love to get back into EverQuest 2 and play the expansion with a character that I already have decked out and at level 50 that is not GIMP anymore, but it's too late for me. You know, it's run its course and it's out of my veins, you know, it's out of my system and I just don't care anymore. There will be something that will come along, though, but the point, I still haven't filled that gap with anything. I don't play anything anymore. I haven't played a fucking game in, like, Jesus, 10 or 11 weeks now. You know, I've played 3 hours of F-Zero, I played Super Mario Brothers, and 45 minutes of Burnout Revenge, the Fear demo, and the AOE 3 demo in 2.5 months.
That's kind of what I'm worried about.
That's exactly what's going to happen until some other MMO comes along. I was talking about games with Mrs. Four last night, in fact, and we were talking about playing EverQuest 2 and how much fun we had and everything, and then it came around to we were talking about, you know, what are we going to play next, and she brought up Fear, and I was like, yeah, Fear is going to be, you know, a weekend. You know, that'll be fun for just a few days. That'll burn out. A month later, we got, like, I think Quake 4 comes out, and I don't know. I enjoy playing those, but I don't play them like I should. And then there's Oblivion, you know, Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. And we were talking about how much fun it's going to be to sit there and play that game, and then it's just like we both kind of came around to, yeah, we're going to suck a lot of time into that, but it's going to be really great when a new MMORPG comes out that we can both play together. And that's going to be a blast. And, you know, and then she says, God, and she said it, like, so sincerely and, like, as if she was, like, staring off into space. She goes, God, I miss games. You know, because she hasn't played anything since EverQuest 2 either.
It's kind just, of a sickness, actually.
It is. And you know what? Fuck you and fuck Kovar and all you guys for getting me into this genre. Because, you know what? If you guys had never talked me into playing Final Fantasy XI, which I didn't like, I couldn't get into or whatever.
Right.
But still, because of that, I was like, you know what? Maybe there is an MMO that could work for me. And then I played the WoW beta. And just, even because of you guys, I don't know if I've ever sat down and told you guys this, but I owe you guys a lot, because from that month I hung out with you guys in Final Fantasy XI, I kind of learned the whole MMO basics, like I learned what, you know, DPS was, and then the healers, and then the tank, and, you know, pulling, and everything. I just kind of, you know, I picked it up because of you guys, and just, I mean, it's your fault, basically, that my whole life is a wreck right now.
And it'll never be the same again, unfortunately. It's a bit like being an addict.
It's good, though.
It's going to be over. I don't know. And I already know I'm going to, I mean, I think I'm, it's going to hold my attention for a little longer, but I'm already doing that thing where I'm logging in just a little bit less every day.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking maybe there's a little something else I could do, but I'm not sure what. And I don't know. I think one day I'm just going to stop, and I'm going to try and fill my time with a bunch of games I never played. And I kind of got something else half going on right now. But, yeah, it's over soon, I think. And it's really sad.
I wonder what that is.
I was talking about school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sure you were. Is she cute? Now, listen
yeah,
here.
Right.
She's aight. All right. What was I going to say? You know, you're right. About that month that you hung out with us in Final Fantasy XI, that is a really big thing in those MMOs. You cannot jump into those blindly and expect to learn how to play unless you, like, seriously read the fucking manuals and everything you can online and forums and try to learn what they're talking about, because it's like a whole different language. And I was lucky I had Ode, who had played the crap out of Dark Age of Camelot. I had Ode and Wolf and Kobar here, but, well, I actually didn't know you for a while, huh? Right. So I had Ode, well, and Wolf is absolutely no fucking help. So I had Ode when I started playing Final Fantasy XI to teach me, you know, exactly like you said, like what DPS was, you know, how the whole tank system worked. I had never played a game that used, like, a hate system before. I never played a game like that. That blew my mind. I was like, wow, that makes a whole lot of fucking sense, too. And that was really cool, you know. And there's a whole lot of other things, you know, all the little shorthand everybody uses and how things quite work. So it was cool to run around with him for a while. Of course, until he stopped playing for a while. Whatever happened to the... I don't remember what happened to him. I think he pulled a Kobar and had a bunch of different dudes for a while before he, like, settled on one guy that he wanted to make Uber. At least he settled on a guy and did make him pretty badass.
Well, see, and that's the part I love most about MMOs, is learning all that stuff. And so that's why each time I start a new MMO, there's less to learn, because I already know about all that stuff, and they're all pretty much the same. And so they make me lose my attention faster and faster, because there's less to learn. When I started playing EverQuest 1, holy motherfucking... That game is a hell of a lot more complex than any other game I ever played, and it was my first, and it took me forever to learn all the ins and outs of that game.
Now that you know everything you know about MMORPGs, are you going to experience one someday?
It's tough to say.
Owned!
But, I can safely say that I'm definitely a better MMO player in general because of that month I hung out with you guys.
Yeah, that's what made all the difference for me, was having Ode just sit down and break things down to me, because, you know, I did not know shit, and it was nice, you know, and I could not imagine starting a game that magnitude without getting any kind of, like, you know, breakdown, like a little schooling on it. There'd be no fucking way. The manuals aren't enough help. It just doesn't work out. As far as looking ahead, I have been looking at some of the MMORPGs and not in-depth or anything, and I'm just kind of, like, letting things kind of just pass by and listen to what I can about them, and nothing sounds good, and the only one that really, really is kind of even drawing my attention, believe it or not, isn't the D&D Online. I thought that one was going to really, really suck me in, but I can't stand that game already. But the one I'm looking at is Vanguard. I can't remember what the hell the rest of it is, but it's called Vanguard. Anybody heard anything about that?
I've been staying away, because I'm just, you know, after you quit Final Fantasy XI and you went to EQ2, every time you logged into EQ2, you know you compared it to Final Fantasy XI. And you're like, you know what, they could have done this like Final Fantasy XI, and I really missed this about Final Fantasy XI. And I can tell you right now, I can't fucking do that. I can't handle it. There's just no way I could.
You can and you will. It's Vanguard Saga of Heroes, VanguardSOH.com. You know, but you kind of get over that kind of stuff.
This is what the people who made EverQuest 1 left, like, after the second expansion. They left, they said, fuck you guys, we don't like what you're doing, and they're the ones making this. They're EverQuest 1 was these two guys' brainchild.
See, now this sounds even better now.
Basically, anybody who has played EverQuest 1 contributes its success to these guys.
And they're making their own game called Vanguard. So I don't even know how I came across this one day. It just sounded pretty good. The graphics looked all right. And it's going to be released sometime in 2006. And really, I don't see anything on the horizon. I'm not seeing World of Warcraft 2 stuff. I'm seeing expansions for the next couple of years, I'm sure. I'm not seeing EverQuest 3 stuff. We're going to see expansions for a couple of years, and I'm tired of it. I cannot handle those games. So I have to move on or get out. And there's plenty of MMORPGs that come out, and they fucking suck ass, and they're not worth playing. Like what's that? Those two that you played, like Rhizome and fucking, what's that other one? Rose, whatever the hell it was?
Oh, God, they were both horrid.
See, yeah, that's just, I don't see that. I cannot play something like that. It's got to be big. It's got to have a lot of people. You know, I can't be in an empty-ass world with nobody in there, you know, fuck that. So this Vanguard thing is going to be something I'm going to kind of keep an eye on, but the worst part is I want it to be soon. I want to jump back into a game like this just so I can lose myself in it, you know. It's going to be a good time when it gets there, but until then, I guess I got a lot of work and real-life stuff I should do anyway, and whatever.
No!
Yeah, it's bad stuff. Let's see, probably enough with the MMORPG check. I think Zayfan's fucking going to shoot himself here in a minute. He's so tired of hearing about it.
No, I actually found something to talk about MMORPG-wise. Has
holy
anyone else
crap.
Besides me known about Darkfall?
Darkfall? No.
Well, it's been, I don't know, they've had a website for a long time. I really like it because it looks like a continuation of UO. It really looks hardcore. It looks like PvP, PvP, drop everything, steal everything, and own everyone without your super uber rare items.
You know what? I've seen this before. I recognize the screenshots.
The website is Darkfall Online. I actually haven't looked at it recently. I've looked at it, like, back when I was a GM in UO Gamers, and now I'm actually back at their website, so... But when I read it originally, they were talking about, you know, own each other, steal your items, and that just appeals to me, how the openness and the lack of divine intervention in these games where you can't attack anyone on your team, no matter what. It just, you know, you can't. It's the godly voice says, you can't attack that person. I don't like that.
See, I'm not a big fan of PvP stuff, so I tend to stay away from that, but I definitely see the appeal, and I definitely could see me getting into it. But it would have to be done very ruthlessly, not baby-like, where if you kill the guy, you get to take, like, 10% of his gold or something ghetto like that. I don't like that stuff, and it seems like it just makes me angry. But if it was, like, serious hardcore, I could actually see me really getting into that, because I would take it way too serious, and I'd go, like, way crazy about it.
Well, and it would also help if there aren't these Uber items that take hours and hours and hours of your life to get, just for some bastard to come along and steal it. That's not cool. But if it's all, like, regular equipment, and the only purpose of stealing it is so you can sell it off and get some gold, then that helps a little, because it's not like raping someone for like a week's worth of their place.
Go kill some other shit stain and take his epic weapons.
If you have no epic weapons, how are you supposed to kill someone with epic weapons?
I'm sure you could pull something off.
That's what killed UO. With the expansion of Age of Shadows, they added super uber weapons, and with that, they added item insurance, where you could basically insure an item for a fee, and you would keep that item after you died. And that sort of just killed off the concept of, you know, looting everything.
Right. I guess Hooks is on the phone with C4. Not sure what's going on. Yeah, he might get on here. So this Darkfall, it looks pretty interesting. The graphics, at least, are really nice. It's masturbating my eye.
Stop stealing Modem's line.
Modem has great lines. I can't deny it. I rip them off daily.
Now, unless someone wants to continue talking about Darkfall, I think C4 wants to transition into the Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer at the Tokyo Gaming whatever.
Yeah, unfortunately, I actually haven't had a chance to see this.
Well, basically, what they said was, it is not pre-rendered. This is all real-time. Even though we're not interacting with it, it is a real-time rendered movie. Basically, a cutscene. And it was actually sort of interesting. At the start, they were basically showing it from a first-person's perspective, and it looks like they were showing off, you know, some random PlayStation 3 first-person shooter, but in the end, at the very start of the end, they said, this is not a first-person shooter, and then they went to the view of, you know, Solid Snake, you know, breaking this guy's neck. And basically, the graphics look unreal. If anyone saw that video that was always claimed to be fake, where they had, what was that first-person shooter where you were hovering in a plane thingy?
Oh, hell.
I never did.
All right, there was a video
exactly
at E3, and
I know
Killzone 2.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, the level of graphics, for those who haven't actually seen it, is at least on par with the Killzone 2 graphics. Now, of course, it wasn't a giant battlefield. but it was at the texture quality and the bump mapping and the lighting, it was all in the same quality,
if not higher. You know, the level of graphics that this next generation is going with is actually scaring me, because every time they bump up the graphics like this, it takes longer for a game to come out. They spend less time worrying about the gameplay and more time making it look pretty. And I don't like it. Games looked good enough a long time ago. They need to, if they're going to make stuff look better, at least keep the gameplay and content up.
Well, that's what the whole Nintendo philosophy is we're not going to spend all this time on graphics. We're going to make that fun game.
And that's exactly why that's the system I'm looking forward to. But anyway, about the trailer.
Yeah, it was actually quite long. You basically saw him running around a desert area, and this sort of goes off topic of the actual trailer, but in this, Snake looked about 40 to 50, and he had an eye patch on, and he looked like an old dude. And that sort of creeped me out a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at a screenshot of when it was actually playing. It looks like he has an old gray mustache.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of that, and I'm not so sure I like that. I'm hoping this is one of Kojima's, like, haha, I tricked all you fuckers kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, it also could have just been a cutscene of story from the future. Like, the story's going to be him telling a story, maybe, or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, because I really don't want to play an old guy.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of appeal in that.
But you know, next thing, no. Yeah, go ahead. I was just gonna say not much information's really been released, so we really have absolutely no idea what to think at this point.
Well, the trailer. Oh, okay, go Cobar.
I was just gonna say, and then it won't be for a long time. That's especially Japan's MO is to be very tight-lipped until and build up a lot of froth at the mouth for their fans. And then finally release information right before the game's going
to
come out.
Yeah,
now,
and real quick.
Real quick.
I just wanted to say before Zivan kills himself or whatever, if anything could convince me to buy a PS3, it's going to be this game, to be completely honest. This is probably the only reason where I'd even consider buying a PS3. Now, I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. To break down the trailer, it wasn't filled with very much content. But basically, you saw Solid Snake running around, you know, a Middle East-looking torn-up town with no one in it besides a bunch of soldiers patrolling, and you saw him just running from wall to wall, pointing his gun around, taking out his knife, and then lighting a smoke and talking to a, what's his name, Auklet or something. And you see him talking to him, and that's about it. It's like a, oh, this computer has a cell processor in it, and they like, sort of pimped out the cell processor as a sort of a gag at the end.
Yeah, so the whole purpose of this trailer was to show off how pretty this game's going to be.
Basically.
See, I hate this. I do not think that this is a good route to be taking.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Only thing in graphics that I care about is it smooth? Are there enough polygons and texturing to where I don't see jagged edges and shit like that? That's why I prefer Super Nintendo graphics over PlayStation graphics.
Now, one thing that bugged me about this trailer was it was showing it far above 30 frames per second, and they were not showing this on a PlayStation 3. They were showing this on what they called the demo system, which was basically looked like a giant computer. It looked like a giant computer case. And it was, as I said, it was showing far above 30 frames per second, which is the cap rate. Well, it's actually like 39 point something frames per second on American TVs, so it's not nearly going to be that fast. And for some reason, I can just see it slowing down. I could just see the PlayStation 3 slowing down, and that would bug me. That would really bug me if it wasn't playing at full speed.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Apparently, the Killzone trailer was rendered by PS3 technology, but then it was sped up.
Yeah, didn't they say they rendered that and it played out? Well, when it played, it was 5 frames per second, and then they bumped it up to 30 or whatever for the demo.
Right. They made sure that the system did each frame, but it was doing it very slowly, and they recorded it and then sped it up.
Ghetto. But didn't they say that it was, didn't they finally get it up to speed, though?
That's what they say.
Right. Fuck that. What about black? Eh, nobody cares. Remember that game Black that was like the Hollywood action movie with shit blowing up everywhere and like tons of destructible things and they showed a video of it?
Yeah, it certainly looks like it could at least be entertaining because like everything around you is blowing up and it looks like you have like infinite ammo or there's lots of ammo everywhere and you're just totally laying siege to a place. And that could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that would be really nice. I'd like a serious over-the-top, like a serious Sam that took itself more serious, though. You know? Something like that would be really, really fun.
Right.
Except for, like, you know, fat graphics, like, nice-looking ones, not all cartoony, crazy, weird stuff, like you're fighting, like, demons from hell and stuff, like, I don't know. I didn't like that game too much. It was fun, but it wasn't fantastic. I'm not really looking forward to Metal Gear Solid 4. It seemed like MGS3 was pretty cool, though. Like, I don't know. It really blew me away, the video in the beginning, and running around the little jungle was as much fun as I had with it, and I cannot control it. And this brings me back to 75,000 buttons on the controller, and some you gotta push it with 130 notches of pressure to aim, and then 240 to pull the trigger back, and then finally you hit 255 points of pressure, and then you let go as fast as you can, and your guy will shoot, and it's like, what the fuck, I can't aim and shoot like this in a game?
If you played Metal Gear Solid 3 through, you would be looking forward to Metal Gear Solid 4. Metal Gear Solid 3 was a masterpiece, it was just amazing.
I have it! I have MGS2 here also! I have, like, the fat version of it for the PS2, and then I have MGS3 for the PS2, and I can't do it. I keep trying, and I keep sitting there and fighting with the controls and getting pissed off. I absolutely loved MGS1, though. There was no control issue I had with that, though. So, maybe I'll give it a spin again. And everybody I've talked to says just forget MGS2. They're saying just, okay, it's too late, forget it, write it off, it'll be fun, but you're not gonna do it. So, go ahead and fucking... just play MGS3, you'll love it, it's game of the year, it's the shit, it's the bomb, just play it. And so maybe I just need to do that, and just, or try, I guess.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Metal Gear Solid 2 was pretty good for its time or whatever, but it was kind of disappointing. But yeah, you could write it off and totally go for Metal Gear Solid 3. But you're
my
never
problem
gonna
is
play
I've
it,
stated,
so I mean, no.
My problem, as I've stated before, is I suck at sneaking around. I get caught every damn time.
Yeah, you gotta be a fan of the genre, but it's so, I mean, fucking Rybo, if he was here, he'd be agreeing with me on this.
I know, that's why I was really, really wishing by now he'd be home. I thought he'd be home 2 hours ago, and it would have been perfect for him to jump in. And Hades, too, who must be at work or something.
Is there anything else to talk about?
Advent Children?
It looks gay to me. I haven't watched it, though, so whatever.
Quiet, Modem. Just quiet when you fail.
I haven't seen it, but I guess this came out, like, what, 5 days ago in Japan, or 4 days ago or something, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Nobody here seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I forgot. Kobar flew to Japan last week. That's right. Tell us about that.
I had an absolute blast watching this movie. I thought it was sick. Now, I'm a big-time whore for everything this movie represents. But I just had it was just so awesome. The action was incredible. The story was a little flat, but I'm really hoping that's translation problems because I watched it with subtitles from just some random dude that just apparently knew Japanese. And translating Oriental languages is a bit of an art form. If you try to translate it just straight out, it's worthless. You can't understand it. And so I'm hoping he just kind of screwed up and it just wasn't quite translated correctly. But as far as the action, it looks incredible, and the action was just spot on. And I had, my jaw was dropped the entire time I was watching it.
Kobar, how do you think this movie is for someone who hasn't played Final Fantasy VII?
First of all, I have only played half of Final Fantasy VII. I didn't like it very much. I had to put it down.
Kobar playing half a game? I'm shocked.
I beat plenty of games.
Oh my god.
Shut up.
Oh, Jesus. Now, also, yeah, whatever happened to you playing Zelda?
Oh.
It fucked up on me, and I haven't bothered to fix it yet.
Excuses.
C4, you gotta play Chrono Trigger, man. Chrono Trigger.
Can I play half of it like Cobar did Zelda?
No.
No.
You have to play it all the way through.
I played more than half of it.
And you have to get the ultimate ending.
Oh, Christ. What's this thing for? Isn't this for the Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo.
Yes,
Super
it is.
Nintendo.
Okay, alright. Well, I'll get around to it.
On par with Final Fantasy VI.
Ooh. Now I have to play.
It's far better, man.
I don't think that's possible.
It is the
best. I don't know if I'm... console RPG.
I'm not quite sure I would call it better than Final Fantasy VI, but it is definitely on par, and it is definitely in the top three of best RPGs ever in the console genre.
That's pretty awesome. I need more stuff like that. I want to check that out. Just need time. I'm just going to bitch about how little time I have.
I was just going to say Final Fantasy VI is one of the games on my detox program.
It'll be worth it.
Yes,
it
I'm
really
going to sit down and play it.
It'll be so worth it. I've played
that
through many, many times.
You've never played Final Fantasy VI?
No, but I actually have the Super Nintendo cart.
Nice.
Have you played Chrono Trigger?
I played it for like 10 seconds, and I thought it was lame, and stopped.
You're a horrible man.
Have you played Earthbound?
Yeah, I did a while back, like during a summer. But I didn't get far in it.
Jesus.
Who the fuck are you to be talking shit to me? Because I didn't play...
All right, because
I didn't play one game that came out when, because I didn't play one game that came out when I was three.
I had a Sega Genesis. I didn't have a Super Nintendo back then.
Oh. Did you at least play Phantasy Star? Like 3 and 4 were on the Genesis?
No.
Ah, you know what? Phantasy Star 3 was really, really good.
I don't know, I wasn't that into the RPGs back then. I mean, I was, but I wasn't really sure what I was playing at that time, because, you understand, I'm like Mocker's age, dude.
Mocker's 14?
Yeah, but at the time, he was like 14, right?
Yeah.
Now, you were probably younger than that.
I was young, so, I mean...
That was a lot more than 5 years ago. You had to have been like 10 or something, maybe.
Yeah, I was young.
I grew up on Super Nintendo RPGs. Yeah. That's what it's all about right there.
Did anyone have TurboGrafx?
Fuck yes, I did. I love that goddamn thing. I had that thing before the Genesis or the fucking I had the Super Nintendo. I used to read, what was that magazine? Like Turbo Play or something?
I was far too young for that.
I love that thing. I used to have a subscription. I'm pretty sure it was Turbo Play Magazine. Shit, I had a subscription to Sega Challenge, something they put out when the Sega Master System was like the thing to have, like for Sega. But I remember reading Turbo Play Magazine, and I'd sit there like late at night with like a flashlight, trying to not wake up my mom and shit, you know, like with the lights on or any music or anything. And I'd sit there and read this magazine with all the fat games coming out and all the stuff like you could do for it. And what I really liked about that system was, the RPGs they had for it were, like, they looked like they came straight out of Japan. Like, they were just straight, here you go, they're translated, knock yourself out. And there was a ton of them. There was a shitload. And, I don't know, I loved it.
Well, it sounds like I missed out. I love that
game. It was great. You had a bunch of stuff, like, I played, like, Ninja Spirit. That was a really cool, like, side-scrolling action game. You had, like, the Bonk's Adventure games. You had Lord of Thunder and Gate of Thunder. There was Street Fighter 2, Champion, you know, whatever on it. There was this game called Dungeon Explorer, which was a lot like Gauntlet with, like, it was a lot like Gauntlet, really, but you had, like, shitload of classes you could pick, and you got like levels and stuff, and you had magic potions for your dudes. I mean, that game blew my mind, and you could play 5 players on these games. You know, there was a game called I don't remember what it was, but it was like a race car game, and you could earn money and upgrade your car, and you could play this with 5 people with that little TurboTap accessory thing, and have 5 people. They had wrestling games, you know, like Battle Royale, with 5 dudes, you know, kicking each other's asses, and you could have 5 of your buddies over, and that fucking system rocked. It was really, really awesome.
How the hell did they have 5?
Remember how the car...
Everybody talked at once there. I missed all that.
Okay. It looks like I was about 9 or 10 years old when the Genesis came out.
Holy shit.
Remember, how did those cards work? The game cards, they were just basically sticks of plastic with a weird thing on the end.
They just had, like, you know, bare little chips that would slide right into it, you know, just like the Sega Master System had those little cards also. It just had the, you know, the contacts on the end, just like a stick of RAM, except for longer, well, yeah, more than that direction, and it would just slide right in there. I had, you know, I mean, there was a bunch of games on that, but then they also had that whole CD thing, and then what really kicked ass was the Turbo Express. Their little portable system would play all those things with, like, this nice backlit full-color screen.
Yeah, Sega needs to come back, and Nintendo and Sega will rule the world.
Then they had a CD add-on, you know, for the console, for the TurboGrafx-16, and you could buy, like, little cards that would allow to play, like, different games, like not, like, all totally different, like, say, like, Super System games, whatever the hell it was called, System whatever the fuck. But then at the very end, they released, like, the fat system, like, the master uber version of it, and it wasn't, like, a bunch of attached shit, which I didn't like. I didn't like having, like, 48 things plugged into my TurboGrafx-16. It was one unit called the Turbo Duo, and it was, instead of being, like, orange and black, it was like maybe like dark blue and gray and black, and it was really sleek looking, and it had the CD attachments built in, all the fatness hooked up right there in one little console, and all the shit worked though. So if like all you had was like TurboGrafx-16 controllers or whatever, I believe all that shit would work on it still. I'm fairly certain. So that you didn't need to go buy all that shit again if you already had it and everything. It was fucking awesome, and that was, I always wanted one of those so bad, and somewhere just about 3 years ago, they found like a pallet of them somewhere in a warehouse, brand spanking fucking new, and they were all over eBay, and they were going only for like $200-$250, I think, and I so almost bought one, and then it was just like, you know, I'm looking at the games, and I would not have been able to afford what I wanted to play. Like, there was this game, what the hell was it called? Dragon Slayer, that I absolutely loved. A fat role-playing game on that thing. And it was like, if you find it, it's like $80. Dungeon Explorer 2, the CD version, is like $80 on eBay. Dracula X, $250. You know, you're just not going to be able to find games for an affordable price. However, you know, there's emulators out there for this kind of thing. Like, Magic Engine runs amazingly well. The only thing is it does require that you actually own the game, because it checks to make sure that the disc is laid out the same, at least. When you put the disc into your computer, it checks to make sure that it's not a copy. Not that it so much checks as it is that it doesn't let you load, like, an ISO, or it won't let you have a bunch of MP3s and an ISO of the fucking, you know, data directory or whatever. You can't do that like you can with a lot of emulators. You actually have to have it burned onto a CD. The shit has to be, like, the right size. You know what I mean? Like, it has to, like, really be a clone of the real game or the real game itself.
I wonder why they did that. I mean, maybe because they were appeasing Sega and they didn't want to get on their bad side, or, I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot
of sense.
You mean
NEC? The company that made the TurboGrafx-16? NEC. That wasn't Sega.
Oh, right.
So, well, the guy that runs it, it's MagicEngine.com. I actually own it. I paid this guy for his emulator. It's $15, and I have a license for forever. And it's worth it, I think, because it plays every fucking game. You know, I mean, it's amazing. This thing is fantastic. There's very few free emulators that do this good of a job. So, and this guy's been working on this thing for years, and it's really good. You know, and I'm for his making sure, you know, well, at least what he does. I think that's a good idea, because it does cut down just a little bit on piracy, you know. So I am kind of for that. Even though it's hard to get these games now, and you're not going to be able to buy them everywhere, you still can if you look hard enough, even though you shouldn't have to, and they are old games. But I guess he has some really, you know, high and mighty good reason to do it and all that, and that's okay.
Well, and that, that's
the,
fine, Andy. Go ahead.
I don't really have anything to say. Go ahead.
That's fine, but we're talking about games that are really old, and you cannot buy them in the store anymore. And it just seems ridiculous that you can't. It should be perfectly legal to pirate something that you cannot buy.
You can't buy a brand new 2004 Explorer.
You can't pirate one either.
You can steal it and say it's mine.
That's way different.
Pirating.
What if you take it from a dealership? So you're taking it from them. You can't make a copy of it, though.
You're taking things from people.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah,
okay, I could come up with a better example, goddammit, but at the time, that's all I had.
It's not like you're going to the store and you're like, grabbing that Ford Explorer and driving away, and then a perfect pristine copy of it sits where it was sitting. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's not like GTA where it disappears. That would be pretty cool. But I don't know. You can still get the games if you look around for them. They're out there.
Like,
you know, hit up eBay, man. All that shit is there. It's just super expensive. I mean, you can get Symphony of the Night still on eBay. It's like maybe 20 or 30 bucks. You can get Symphony of the Night for the PS1 if you can't find it in a store anymore.
Yeah, but you're buying it from a person, not from NEC or anything.
Well, no.
But what the hell do they care?
Yeah, but there's like, okay, you can still go to like EB Games and pick a GameStop or whatever and pay for it. The company might not be getting any money anymore, but they already got what they wanted for it. So if you're making...
Exactly.
Yeah, and if, no. They got for the one, not for you and all your seven friends that are making copies, though. You should each pay them.
But you're not going to pay them. You're going to pay EB.
Now you are, but not back in the day. Not back when they were selling the game, you were going to be able to buy that game and the company got its money. You know, now if you buy a game and you make seven copies, they should all pay the company. That's they're selling this product and you can still buy it. If you can't buy it anymore, hey, they only release so many copies of the game. That's why it goes up in value as it gets older.
See, me personally, I still stand by the whole pirate the game if you like it enough, mail what you think the game is worth to the company that developed it. That's what I think.
I stand behind...
You're going to get more money from you sending them a few bucks than from the publisher.
That's true. I'm sure that's
exactly.
Definitely true. And I'm actually pretty fucking behind that. I like that idea.
Yeah, until they get a check in the mail and they're all... And a little note explaining what the hell it is, and then they send the feds after you.
I don't think they would do that, though.
I think they need to come up with some sort of like an anonymous donation thing where you can just PayPal them some shit or something.
Yeah.
If you think it was worth 25 bucks, you PayPal them or send them 25 bucks. If you think it was like 10 and you didn't really like it that much, send them 10. And you know what? Just pirate it because all this money is going to the publisher. All this money is going to people who had nothing to do with it except funding it. And they're probably dicks anyway. And I don't know.
That's where EA comes into play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with that except for the fact that with how much it costs to make a game these days, the developers can't afford to make them. They need the publisher to front them the money.
But the thing is, a lot of the bullshit that the publishers are paying for are the shit they want in a game. Like, you gotta have multiplayer, you gotta have this, you gotta have that. And it's bullshit.
Right, and look at these in-game ads we're seeing. Where, you know, you're playing, what the fuck is that one game? Anarchy Online is the one that comes to mind. Where you've got these ads, like, streamed off the fucking internet into your game that are different. Where do you think that all goes? All that advertising money, I guarantee, goes into the pockets of the publisher.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I don't like the whole publisher-developer relationship. I think developers should be able to just put out a game, sell it, and make 100% of the profits that are being made, because they're the ones that deserve it.
What about that Project Offset group? It's where it's three fucking dudes, right? Who's paying for that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Well,
you're right. Cobra loves the man. He likes the man.
I have no idea, but the problem is the cost of making a game. There's no intrinsic cost to it. It's just man hours. You have to pay all the programmers and modelers and this, that, and the other. That's where, like, 90% of the cost comes. If it's just three dudes in a garage doing it and they're off time, who do they got to pay? It doesn't cost anything to make a game that way.
Okay, check this out. This is straight off of Project Offset's website. There's three fucking dudes. The founder and technical director is some dude named Sarn McGrath. And then there's two co-founders / artists, Travis Stringer and Trevor Stringer, right? Offset Software consists of just three people working out of an apartment, and we are currently completely self-funded. The engine and all art thus far has been created with a tiny budget, just enough to purchase the software and hardware we need for development. However, although our budget may be small, our goal is big. We are creating a AAA next-generation game, codenamed Project Offset, and a powerful game engine to run it. Unfortunately, we can't stay self-funded for too much longer. We're looking for publishers, investors, and even fans who want to contribute to our effort. Our immediate goal is to find enough money to hire a few more people to refine and further develop the engine and gameplay. Eventually, we want to ramp up and send the game into full-scale production, ending up with a kick-ass title. Investors and publishers, we are interested in talking about partnership opportunities. Please email Sam. So see, that's fucking fat, okay? You've got three dudes that put together a game that's pretty fat already, saying, okay, now we've got this game, people want to play it, you're not going to add and change our game. Who wants to pay to help us get this out and make some money? But I hope they better not get screwed. You know, I could just see EA waltz in here and throw them a little bit of money and take their fucking fat game.
Yeah, that would really shock. But this is a prime example of things we're starting to see that makes me wonder, why the hell does it cost to take 50 people to make a game if these three dudes have gotten, I mean, I've seen video for this, I've seen screenshots for this. This is pretty intense for three freaking people.
Holy fuck, they have a giant list of people on their site, too, that have, like, donated money. This is fat.
Wow. That's gotten a lot bigger since the last time I was
there. It runs off the page. That is cool. See,
I wonder if donators get a free copy.
I doubt it. Wow, that's pretty fucking cool, though. That is really neat. Well, it says Friends of Offset may receive other benefits in the future. That is really fucking cool. See, I like to get behind this, because I know I've said this before, I really like the idea of, you know, like, garage programming. Back in the day where it was five dudes, or three dudes, or two dudes, or one guy, sitting around with such a love for this, his idea, his game, his art of programming, whatever it was, you know, that to me is what it should have been about. And it was fantastic, and it was great, and now it's back down to fucking, you know, EA, and it's going to these giant companies that want it their way, and fast, and now, and cookie cutter. So you have it just like everything else.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's why when we were talking about that, what was that, ZFN? Something, White Page? Or
White Chamber.
White Chamber, that's it. I said, that's really cool. We need to get into more of this and reporting on more of this, because that stuff is really awesome. And I'm hoping that it starts to really work out for them and it becomes the future of gaming, because this giant corporation, all we care about is making money bullshit, has got to go.
Oh, speaking of little stuff like that, hang on one second.
Dude, there's like 150 names on list that have donated to these guys.
Those guys, Telltale Games, are releasing the Sam & Max sequel.
I never played that.
It was an old adventure game released by LucasArts.
I've heard of it.
They're working on a sequel. Yeah, they were working on a sequel and they killed it because they didn't think it was going to sell enough. And these developers, Telltale Games, that, like, I don't know, they used to work there or something. Anyway, they picked it up and they're going to release it. So that's just another thing to look out for if you like those old adventure games.
Nice. I'd like to get into a good adventure game. I'm going to have to check out that project. No, crap. What was it called? White Chamber?
Chamber.
I don't know why that name doesn't fucking, like, stick in my head for some reason. You know, I hate to say it, but I also look forward to playing some of this fat new stuff. Like, the new cameo on the Xbox 360 would cool. You gotta play a little bit of Dead or Alive 4 just to make sure that the physics are still working right. You know, you gotta see it. Like, I wanna play that. Oblivion, you know, and then there's that one, 99 Nights. That sounds pretty cool, too. That Heavenly Sword that Kobar told me about a while back, the what the hell was that, on the PS3?
Yeah, the PS3. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some cool stuff coming out that comes from the big corporations, but I think we would be so much better off if it wasn't like that.
You're right, and this Heavenly Sword, even though it's not Heavenly Sword 27, and this 99 Nights, you know, isn't 99 Nights 14, it's the same gameplay, and it's the same idea as any other one of these, like, you know, small dude running around like Dynasty Warriors, big-ass fucking sword, and wipe people out, you know, I'm just not too... Like, I'm sure it'll be cool, and it's like I'm more wowed by the graphics, where I'm just like, oh, wow, that looks really cool, but how does it play? Is it really actually fun? Is there a story here? I mean, that makes me angry and broke. Well, I think we're going on hour 3. I actually did not keep track of what time we started this, but I think it was about 4:30, and it's almost 7:30 now, guys.
Yeah, after we edit out all the silence and mess-ups and stuff, we might have about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We need to have a panel form so we didn't talk over each other as much as we did.
Yeah, there's definitely got to be something different here. But Kobar and I were talking about this, like, After we did a little pre-show and we were kind of screwing around for like that half hour, hour, however the hell long it was. And this is a lot of fun, particularly because I don't have to talk so fucking much. I get really tired sometimes.
And with a little more preparation, this might actually be something cool to do every once in a blue moon.
Right, so this is, and it was relatively easy to set up compared to everything else that we've had go on around here, so I think this is pretty cool. Maybe like even every 25 episodes or something, or who knows, I mean, maybe people actually like it. It won't be this fucking long, though, that's for goddamn sure, at least not until 200 or something, but anyway, I really want to thank you guys, everybody here, for showing up. I really wish we could have got a whole lot of more people on, and I thought during the time of the day that we were going to do it, it was going to have like 8-9 people here, and some of the people that I know wanted to be here can't be. So, and either they can't be or they're not right now for whatever reason. I mean, even Hooks wanted to be, but not only did he wasn't so sure if we were actually recording, he doesn't have a microphone at his house, we didn't have enough gear here for a third person to do it here. So, I mean, it wasn't coming together, as well as I had hoped, but a little bit more planning next time, and it should go a lot smoother, I think, and a little bit better, but we weren't even sure if this was going to work. We kind of did have a little, like, backup plans in case we couldn't get this to work, so I'm glad this came together like it did, though. It was really a whole lot of fun, so, and I had a whole lot of fun.
Just wait, and, the recording will be fine.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
We're also notorious for not planning things out very well.
Yeah, definitely not as well as I think about it during the week, and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta do this, gotta do that, oh wait, we gotta record today, shit, and I try to rush everything and make it happen, but, oh well. But yeah, this is gonna be a fuck to edit, because I've got 3 hours of this, plus the 45 minutes in the beginning, and I'm gonna have to listen to the whole thing and take out every little piece of, like, hella silence, and where we talk 10 people over each other, you know, or, well, 5-4 people, whatever, so,
It's gonna be horrid.
It is. It's going to be bad, and I'm going to be pissed, and I'm not going to want to talk to anybody for like a month. But,
yeah, this is going to come out after 101.
Wait, what?
This is going to come out after 101.
It more than likely will at this rate, but what my real plan, my sneaky little goal here, is to chop this fucker into two parts. It might have to. I seriously may not be able to do all this in one sitting. There'd be no fucking way. What I will do, well, fuck, I really don't know. We'll see. This is going to be a lot of work. There's like almost 4 hours of shit here. So,
enjoy.
Yeah, thanks to everybody.
Games.
Good. You need to play something other than fucking World of Warcraft 2, by the way.
Just stopped in. Need
not
to
yet.
Get out.
Well, you know, and I want to say thanks to everybody that has been listening, you know, for like the last, whatever it's been, like 2 and some odd years. It's been a while. I don't know. It's been a long time. And, you know, we got a lot of really fucking cool people in IRC and on the forums and stuff. And you know, some people have been around for a really fucking long time. Modem in particular. That fucking blows my mind that you're still around. And Rybo and Hades and all. Dude, John K. So many fucking people. I can't begin to start naming names. It's just that many people. Spetz has been around forever. Fucking playing Final Fantasy XI with some of these people, Cushion and stuff. I remember, I mean, he played less than anybody. Shit, it's Cushion we gotta look out and make fun of for MMORPGs. Not Kobar here. He was bad. He played like an hour a week, tops. Like, together. That's like, he played like 3 days a week. So, but, big thanks to everybody, and, you know, with the emails and everything, it's what makes this worth to do it, I think, is knowing that there's people out there and we have a lot of fun, and hang out on IRC and the forums and stuff. There's a lot of fun people out there, and, you know, if we get enough people, you know, there's more games that are gonna come up and we can all play together. I think that would be the coolest thing, is to get a fat MMORPG that we all like. So yeah, I'm done. Anybody else want to continue on before I cut everything off?
No, I think I'm spent.
Let's just go down the list.
Yeah.
Well, see, we do have kind of an order here. If we just work our way from the bottom down, Final Dragoon, you're still here with us. Anything you wanted to say?
No, it's just been a pleasure to be able to contribute. Sure wish I could have contributed more to this episode.
What we need is a thing that it sets it up so that when you press your button, it cuts everybody off, so that it won't interrupt you. That would be really sweet.
Yeah, if there's more WoW talk, he would have been in on it. He's been like me, just into the World of Warcraft.
Zayfan?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks, and wish me luck on trying to edit this fucking thing.
Oh my god, get these headphones off.
Later.
Leroy Jenkins!
At least I got chicken.
I'm gonna have to totally Leroy this fucking edit on this thing too. Not even listen to half of it, just take out all the blank spots. Alright, bye bye. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah.
Link disengaged.